This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome. It is The Show on Q Talk America. We're coming to you live from Studio C on this, what is oddly, a rainy night in Phoenix, Arizona. It's lovely. Lovely. There's rain and flooding going on around, and people just fucking lose their mind in Phoenix. I was watching the news a second ago, well, about 30 minutes ago, and they were doing the advising of, do not drive into deep water.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are fucking morons.
Yeah. Well, and for anyone who's not from here, the stupid motorist law.
Well, right, right.
I mean, if you want
yeah,
to
if you drive, if you drive into a wash, get flooded, and people have to rescue you, when it was clearly posted that you shouldn't, or you shouldn't drive in, they force you to, they will rescue you, and then promptly give you a bill for such a rescue into the thousands and thousands of dollars.
As well they should.
I agree they should. Let's click off. Let's kick off the show by saying hello. We have a new listener. Chloe is in Quebec, Canada.
Hi, Chloe.
Now, remember, the only camera you got now is this
one
up there.
Hi,
wave up there.
She often just waves in the air.
For some time, for some fucked up reason, we're lost cameras again. I'm not sure. But anywho, Tomo is here. Meow Cow. Katie, of course, my mom.
Hi,
Mama Di is in the high room. Richard is there. So hello to everybody.
Hey,
this is show number 177. It is August 8th, 2014. And so much.
No, August 12th.
Oh, I saw the month is 8.
Yeah.
The day is 12. I should have said December 8th. Yeah, 12th. My
good.
Terribly sorry about that. August 12th. I should have looked
nice
at
the
atomic clock on the wall. Should have informed me of that. Because it usually does. Well, we're glad to be back. We were gone last week. Everybody had to miss a week. And we are back in business. I hope that we're steadily going to be back here for a while.
Yeah.
Unless Al's planning any excursion. Oh, but
I feel like he excursioned himself out this last weekend.
An excursion came up today on Facebook, and I think I want you to go with me, Al.
Just announced
North America Culture Club dates. They're going to be in Vegas on, I think it's the 27th. It's a Saturday in November. So I'm thinking, well, maybe Al and I could make a day trip up and back or so.
Yeah, I think that's when my sister's here.
Oh, fuck. Of course, there's always something to ruin my goddamn...
Well, she can go to Vegas.
I don't want to go. Not with her. She's not as fun as you.
No, but she'll go. She's
she
going
go
to...
with.
She can go with.
Oh, we just have to take her to the concert?
If she wants to go.
You didn't want to have to go with just her. But no. Yeah, she could maybe come.
It might be lovely.
The one time I voluntarily choose to go out of town, he's like, yeah, no, my sister's going to tag along. Yeah, shit.
I'm like, rain wow.
And by the way, if you're listening, sis, I love you.
Yeah. I'm like, that was strangely aggressive.
I just wanted a time for us, Al. There's never time for us.
Oh, there is. I know. Speaking of wanting a routine back.
Yes. Yes, I do. Certainly.
And today, it was today.
Today?
Today it was like officially clear. Like, I would like my own schedule back now, please.
Yeah. Did you work today?
It was supposed to be a meeting from 3 to 5, and they rescheduled it from 4:45 to 6. Then people wouldn't shut the fuck up. So all of a sudden, it's like 6:24, and I'm like, I got to go.
Yeah, hey.
Very important non-paid radio show.
Was it like the stories when you go, this is the fucking worst, right? When you go to driving class, and nobody wants to be there.
Right.
Nobody.
I've never
but
been there.
But for some reason, everybody wants to share a story. So they're like, and also, don't run red lights. And someone's like, let me tell you about one time I ran a red light. Nobody cares about your one time when you...
It always turns into war stories.
Is
yeah.
this going to be on the test?
It's fucking horrible.
I don't think it is.
If it's not on the test, don't tell the story.
I hear you, because I know how this goes, and everybody needs to chime in, and blah, boo.
And I just waited for someone to express my opinion. I'm like, that's what we need to say.
Also, bye.
Because I knew she was never going to not shut up. So when she was done, I'm like, yeah, three of those things were pertinent. The rest, who gives a shit?
So, see ya, everybody.
Did he... I got nothing else for that. The thing that I knew was wrong with Al's day is when I sent him a text earlier and I said, if you want, I'll come get you, because normally you bike over to this lovely establishment. And then I'm like, well, or I'll send an Uber cab. And he's like, I'm already in my car. meetings. Like, something's terribly wrong. First of all, Alvin needs car.
Yeah.
Sure. A number one, that.
That. But your car got washed automatically today. Aren't you excited?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, now it'll be filthy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
well, you take the good, you take the bad.
Right, exactly.
You get enough of that
you
rain,
take them
it'll eventually...
Sometimes there you have.
This is probably the most washed car I've ever owned.
It's the closest you've ever come to actually getting an 80s theme song right, I think, on this show.
That's
most
true.
Most of the Facts of Life theme in order. Yeah. Katie June, congratulations.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be here all night. Try the prime rib.
Try it all. Everything
exactly.
you can.
Dark
Tip your
Thursdays.
Waitress.
Marnie's girl is having issues with her internet. I don't know what to tell you. We're blasting out of here with all we've got. So if you can't get it, up your service.
Tell your neighbors.
Yeah, and we're only here at the good humor of God, because once this lightning strikes and the power goes out, have a good night wherever you are.
If you lose
that's
us.
That's true. Thank you for listening. Yeah,
we'll try to post on the Facebooks if we can to let you know if we're out of commission for the night.
I guess the best part, though, is that we might not know, unless like our lights in this room go out. Like everybody else could be down. We could be talking to zero people.
Yeah, but we're still recording a show, and it'll go on for the ages. So if they lose power and
forever.
We aren't, then we don't care.
So still say real smart things.
Oh, by the by, I the other day I was I can occasionally look at the app that we show, because we're broadcast 24/7. It's all us all the time on Q Talk America.
you really
can't escape us.
So that's just, right, Chloe. So you just listen in.
Yeah.
Right
by
here.
The way, you got a lot to catch up on, girl. We got 2 years worth of fucking shows, so you start now. I typically look in to see who's listening anytime, day or night, and it's always interesting to find out, because you realize and you forget, we're a morning show. Like for Tomo, we're a Wednesday afternoon show for him in Auckland, New Zealand. We're a morning show from the gentleman, I forgot his name, in Cairo, Egypt. So the entire world listens to us at all different times, and I forget that. So it's interesting to click on the app and see who's listening live to the audio only stream. Well, the other day I clicked on, there was nobody on. I thought, well, that's kind of odd. So a few hours later, I clicked on again. There was nobody listening, and I clicked on again, and nobody. I'm like, what the fuck? So I clicked on our website. Well, because there was nothing playing, and I found out that we have a limit on what shows they'll store in the server before they shut the account off and force you to go in and delete. So I had to go in and delete 10 shows.
Oh, good.
You did the first 10.
Right, the older 10. No. Literally, these are shows. There's probably 20 weeks, maybe 25 weeks. So I have to go and I just delete the oldest shows. So the most current are still playing.
I hope some of my drunker shows are gone.
No. It's not gone.
Yeah.
I have it, but it's just not in the rotation.
People, and I'll tell you, like I'm working in politics and people literally ask me like, so when are you going to run? And I'm like, I actually work on a show called Q Talk, called The Show with Clayton Mickey.
I can never run for anything.
I'm out. Count me out for public office.
Not even dog catcher.
Yeah. No.
Probably not.
Definitely not school board. But I'm out.
No, you're right.
For politics. Yeah. I'm out for political office. I'll work behind the
scenes. But you know
what?
In fairness, Katie, a lot of lesser men and women have come out of worse
that
shit and made it to the top.
And said way stupider shit right out loud.
Yeah, and even said stupider. Not
that's
more.
Way true. More.
Way more stupider.
Way more stupider.
So you might still have a fighting chance.
That's actually true. Yeah.
You never know.
Really you're not you're the really most right. dumbest thing.
No.
Some of the rest of them are, on the other side. What was the
foot tapping in the other stall? I haven't ever...
That's a wide stance.
I don't have a wide stance. I don't have a wide stance. So I'm okay there. That's a positive.
Yeah. It's good.
For now.
It's good.
And you don't just randomly pick up toilet paper off the floor.
Right.
No, I do not.
And if you do, well, then we have to, that's a special show we're going to have where we have an intervention of TP
we'll call
attachment.
A special doctor in. Yeah, it'll be a whole thing. You'll all know about it when it happens.
Exactly.
I like it.
Exactly. Well, Marnie, I already pre-warned you.
Yeah.
There is a... If we have more rain, there's a leak in the ceiling.
Sorry, I have a hat on.
Yeah, that's good. No, you always have a hat on.
Yeah.
There's a leak in the ceiling that oddly was fixed about a year ago, and it's reared its ugly head again. But I think it's because that rain, when it started earlier, was actually coming sideways into the carport.
True.
It was really going. So I think it was just a little more oomph.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
Please,
some more. Just a little more. So if it starts, as long as it's not here.
Oh, no. And
it's
fortunately,
back here.
Right
here?
It was right at the very end of the table. And
so
the girls are getting hit.
Yeah, the girls are getting
but
hit.
But the mic wasn't in the way.
Hey,
it didn't get wet.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, don't
you know what I mean? Carpe diem, people.
A little carpe diem, right?
You have to move the mic.
Right. Isn't that what was that show?
I don't know.
No.
Look at my tits. I don't know.
Remember when we kept like pointing?
Oh, yes.
And it wasn't
off camera.
Off camera.
breast pointing or right. something
it was,
like that.
And it was like accidentally. Like,
I kept pointing at her tits.
It was a show that we didn't have cameras at all. And I had to explain. So I was doing play by play.
Bring that back up. Oops. Yeah.
Oops, there it is. All right, it's around the table in minutes. Well, we got all kinds of fucking time. Katie June.
Hey!
You working? What are you doing? What did you do last week when you didn't have a show?
Fuck, I don't know. That's how fun and exciting my life is.
It is good that you take advantage of that time.
I know.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. So I work for a political campaign, of course. Additionally, I work for a nonprofit because I am a gigantic.
This is also a nonprofit.
Because I am a gigantic pansy. And I don't have a backbone, can't say no, giant piece of shit, all of the above. So,
wow, self-deprecation, Katie. Come on.
It's been a day. It's been a week, and it's only Tuesday.
I don't have a bell.
And this nonprofit.
It does feel like a long week, and it is only Tuesday.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's weird. It's really hard. I worked all weekend. But anyway,
late bell.
So I don't know. I literally have had something like Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night through Friday night of this week. It is just a busy week. I don't know what the fuck I did last Tuesday, but I hope everybody else had a really fun time. Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Yeah.
There you are.
I will tell you, my candidate is in town. I love her so. I really love her so much. It is like everyone's on point. You know, it's like if your boss works, if you're in office here and your boss is in an office in Atlanta, right. for example, then
nice segue,
right?
Thank you.
So your boss comes to Phoenix for a week, and you gotta be on it.
You're on your shit.
You actually get
your hair done.
You
like everything.
really do, and you just have to be really available and on it. And my boss is in town for a fucking month, and then she's in town for two more months. And then we have an election.
So now is it 3 months total?
Well, she's here now.
I'm just doing the math.
September is kind of like back and forth. And then October, she's here all of October.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So I have events. We have a lot of fundraisers. You know, I mean, it's a very important election. And it's on November, whatever the...
First Tuesday.
But when is our local? Is it August 26th?
August 26th.
That's the primary. Okay. Yeah. So if you're a vote by mailer, you should have already received your ballot.
Did?
I am not.
Okay, so if you're a poll voter, it's the 26th.
Totally.
I mean, it's a really exciting primary.
I like that you use the phrase poll voter. Excuse me, if you're a poll voter.
I'm totally a poll voter.
I do not want to do any of that.
I was trying to get something dirty.
I know
out
you
of
are.
That.
I know, but again.
I think we've had this conversation before.
I dress up as a poll voter.
And you know what?
She does. I do. All red, white, blue.
I used to be a poll voter until I realized I was missing out on a lot of votes that I didn't give a shit about. Like school board overrides, school overrides, which are very, very important. But things I just wasn't paying attention to. So I started signing up online. I didn't know by mail. I did not know how many elections there were. As a matter of fact, there are just so many things to vote on as a citizen of this great country.
Right.
So I vote on all of them now. I love voting by mail. And I still haven't filled out my ballots because there's one really intense race I don't know who I'm voting for. But
nice. I may have to switch back to early voting. Early voting again.
Pebble, permanent early voter list.
I may have to transition back because I'm missing a lot of these little ones.
You miss the little city votes. You miss the little school board votes. The city, like the little bond elections.
I missed something in July.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I voted for it because it came in my mail. So. Sorry.
That's right.
Anyway.
But at least you voted. May have been the right or the wrong way, but you voted. Yeah,
yeah. My favorite thing about elections is that they happen in early November. So you win or lose, you clean up, and then it's December. And I'm in fundraising. So you can't fundraise in fucking December.
Nope.
It's just not a month you do things
nope,
in. So it's great because, like, you win or lose in the beginning of November. Hashtag win.
Yeah.
And then you do your thank you, like, tour, right? Your tour de thanks. And then you have, like, a month off.
Yeah.
A whole month. To just, like,
get crazy.
Do other things.
Yeah. And like the holidays, you mean?
I was going to say get crazy, but instead, like, decorate my tree.
Yeah.
Like, paper craft from my child. Anyway.
Wow.
You guys, I'm feeling a little crazy from now through November.
Sure. Go with it.
Whatever.
I like it.
First Tuesday, people.
Yep.
So.
After the first Monday.
Yep. Well, now what will happen, just in case you care to know, I'm sure we'll be doing election coverage here. Yes. With our own with our own twist on it.
This is a big one.
As we did.
Oh, because anyone can mock Christine Jones.
It's the Tuesday. Katie caught on. It's a Tuesday.
I've been saying it's Tuesday. I didn't realize. Yeah.
Our show is on Tuesdays.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I won't be here, actually. I will be at my campaign party.
I think we already knew
party.
That.
I think they should just keep us moving here.
Campaign winning.
Let's just do it here.
I'm going to ask the congresswoman to do it.
All we need you for is 3 fucking hours.
I'm going to ask her if she'll come. Actually, and be our special guest.
Shit, that'll work. No, but we just need you 3 hours. That's it.
She's not a drinker, I'll tell you that. But she started drinking wine since she moved to D.C. She's like,
sometimes she doesn't.
We were at an event, and someone goes, "You want a glass of wine?" Oh, and then they go, "Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot you don't drink." Because she really was not a drinker.
Right.
And then she goes, "Oh, I fuck you. I work in D.C. now. Give me a glass of wine."
Like, exactly.
She's like, "I drink wine now." So
I'm sucking up to people I couldn't stand before.
Have a glass, yeah.
It's called lobbying.
Anyway, so she could come and drink wine. I mean, if she could lobby you guys for something, I'm sure.
Let's figure it out. We could supply some booze if she wants to come in.
Are you guys the gay lobby, maybe?
I just don't know how it would work for her if she were to come in here on election night and spend it with us.
I'm going to say not well, but
it's after the polls close.
Yeah, that's true.
She's fine.
Polls are closed.
Yeah, close to 7.
Oh, then, get her in here.
Set.
We're going to cut to election coverage with the congresswoman over at Q Talk America Studio C.
Everybody just hears, woo! Bells are ringing.
Bells will be ringing.
That fucking season's coming too.
Yeah, real
not
fast.
Happy about
someone
that.
Someone posted the other day, 20 Fridays till Christmas, and I wanted to punch him in the face.
Well, I walked through. I think it was at like a Big Lots or something, and all of a sudden I'm just walking, doing my thing, and I look to the left and I look to the right, and I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. And on the left was all this Thanksgiving and be blessed shit, and on the right was all this Halloween stuff, and astounding.
Yeah,
I'm like, wait a minute, it's what? And then I remembered when we went to Home Depot in September.
2 years back.
Yeah.
And they had trees.
And it was already trees. Oh, and all the things blown up with all the shit blown around in them that you can put on your roof.
Right, the inflatable Christmas bullshit. God.
And I went, it's not really too soon.
Can I? And let me ask you guys a question. Because I'm a little bit, kind of a lot younger than you all.
Cunt right here, first time on the night show.
I'm kidding.
Listen, I'm drinking the cheap champagne tonight, so you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I want to really be honest. So
yes, we had Christmas when we were younger.
Yeah, Jesus had died.
I don't know if I just like, as I was getting older and I'm buying my own Christmas stuff, I'm paying attention to the fact that it now comes out in fucking September.
Right.
Has it always been like that? Or
this
is
conversation
it like
has never changed.
A relatively new marketing scheme within the last however many years?
The conversation about, oh my God, it seems to come out earlier and earlier every year is it's just like,
everybody says it.
I hate the new SNL cast. I've been having the same conversation since 1975.
Yep. Grandmother
said it and she's dead.
I think it just feels like it all the time. Yeah. But it's not.
Because we're not excited about it like we were when we were kids. If you're one of those crazy Christmas people, then you got to have a plan ready because you're not going to put up 10,000 lights
in
on November 25th. Yeah. You got to buy the lights. You got to have a plan. You got to calendar it. But it's one of those boring conversations. Like, I can't believe they have Christmas stuff up. It's up the same time every fucking year.
As we've gotten older, and Kelly didn't really have, they didn't do Christmas big when she was little. And so when she and I got together, we started doing it big. And now we do it for Palmer. And so it's different for us. And so she's like, Christmas isn't as fun anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, we're old. Like, this means we're grown-ups.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Is that Mark Martinez in our chat room? Yes, it is.
Mark Martinez
will be with the Republicans on election night. What fun.
Oh. Martinez.
Poor Mark Martinez.
Come on.
Thank you, Richard, for
is that because you work for
that?
Fox?
Mark Martinez, who I bumped into at Bed Bath & Beyond on some day this
week. Was it the bed, the bath, or the beyond part?
We were beyond.
Hopefully
we were
the
right
bath.
At the checkout.
We were
so
beyond.
It was lovely to see you, though, Mark. It was lovely, lovely to see you. We came up with a we need to get together at your house scheme.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't put it all together, but we know how you like that.
Which is why I'm desperate to have my schedule back.
Right, right. Yeah, we
got
mentioned
it.
That you were out of town again.
Oh, all this.
And went through all that. So, not now, Al, but, you know, soon.
Somewhere between now and death.
Yeah.
Which one? Hold on.
Oh, so Katie, you're caught up. We're good with you.
That's it.
You're
running
around.
You got about it. Marnie,
Ms. Ryer.
Yeah, not a lot.
Any projects? You only have a project of some sort.
Yeah, doing some projects around the house.
Yours?
Yeah,
got
actually.
It. Your own. Good for you.
Yeah.
Erin's got her. She's had enough of your time for all that.
Things still need to be done. But I...
Forever.
So my shower, one of my showers that I have had in... transition, if you will, for since 2009. I'm not going to lie.
Has it been like a usable shower?
Well, now it's
it was
becoming
a
bath.
It was a male shower. Yeah. Now it's a female shower.
Are you calling it Chaz?
It's the Chaz tub.
Taking hormones in the shower.
I don't want to go in the tub. I do not want to go into that tub.
Well, then you're not ready to change.
No, definitely.
That's true.
That's a true story.
Going along with that, there was a blockage in the hose.
Oh, okay.
All of that sounds sexually bad.
But, and I had our plumber, Gerald.
Oh, Gerald?
Came out.
Oh, good old
and
Gerald.
We got it all fixed. So now I have to drywall this area that was taken out.
Oh, I remember that you were talking about this. It's not the hose. It's the drain.
Whatever.
The
pipe. Whatever hose.
Yes. Here comes the shower head.
Oh, that one.
Shower head.
Got the supply, not the drain. Got it.
Yep. So anyway, got all of that. Got all that done, and have to, and it's all ready to be finished. Just working on shit around the house.
Oh, good.
Doing my thing.
Good.
Went to the dentist.
How'd that go?
Well, it's temporary crown right now, but I just don't get
crowns
it.
Crowns at the pits.
The problem is, thank you. I will never be able to thank you enough for sending me to the Open Wide Dental.
Oh, to Dr.
Oh, my
Dursack.
God. They're phenomenal. Dentist. And I sat there and I was able to listen to my 80s music just cranked up and loud, but it doesn't do a fucking thing about that drill.
No.
You can still hear the drill.
The drill is
and
like
it's
in your
horrible.
Head.
Yeah, but if you've got,
I can't handle.
Aren't you loaded up with drugs?
Novocaine.
When they come at me with that needle, I freak out
because it's like
huge. Well, I mean, really. I mean, it's kind of like a lot of other euphemisms. Like, how is something this big going in something this small?
You're right, though. When I was little, I had cavities a lot growing up, and I didn't realize
how two people
big...
love each other very much.
No.
You're going to feel a slight pressure.
Or you're drunk.
That needle in your mouth is huge.
It's huge.
It's
this
real
big,
huge.
And it's going right here, and that's all.
Yeah. And it's horribly painful.
Awful.
You know what's funny is I've never thought those Novocaine shots were painful.
You also have things that big hidden in your mouth. So you like it. We are scared. Marty and I, scary.
I know. All right. I'm going to go point Katie June on that one.
I am too.
I don't think there's
my award, fair point.
I don't think there's a pain tolerance directly corroborated.
And I hope they're a little bit wider than a needle, for the love of Christ.
Because using the phrase needle dick is
Otherwise, that's not what someone wants.
Oh, no, needle? No.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
No.
I'm not sucking up a mosquito.
Oh,
I hope.
That's sad. Oh, well, I'll let a guy know if you come back and tell us the deets, I'll let him know.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Anyway.
Would you like it? You know the toys you buy, the bigger the better? It's the same thing.
I know.
Not necessarily the bigger the better.
I agree, size matters.
I walked into this someplace one time, and those things stood like this high.
That's
like
unnecessary.
I don't even understand.
It's a novelty.
It was like the Novocaine needle. Yeah, okay. I didn't understand.
It's a novelty.
Yeah.
Especially the person trying to sit on it. Well, this is a novelty.
Yeah. I like that.
Best of luck to this champion.
This ain't going to work.
No. That'll leave a mark.
No matter how much poppers.
I feel my tonsils are in the way, and I'm going from the other end.
Oh.
So anyway, they were delightful, and my tooth is now fixed, and so it's lovely.
Tomo says, I don't know how the dental care has progressed in the United States, but the drill here is tiny.
Not about the drill. It's about the needle. The drill?
Oh,
I don't want to have anything.
That is
funny. And why in the world won't they come up with a drill that you don't have to hear?
Yeah.
Why a silent drill?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I don't get it.
Is because it's
come up with one.
I know. Make it work.
Yeah, we can
if
put a
Kim Kardashian can have a fucking career.
And
we
a marriage
can make a
longer
quiet.
Than 72 days.
Oh my God, just a career. I love it when they say, "And Kim Kardashian famous for being famous." Fuck you! I want to be famous for anything. Like
you,
what
are.
Do I need
you
to
are.
Do
locally,
to be famous?
You are
for being famous.
You mean
I will put out a
Phoenix?
Sex tape?
Wow.
I will. I'll do it. I'll do it with anybody. I just want to be famous for being famous. That
wow.
Bitch, that woman has millions of dollars.
Yeah. And I like when they call her a
don't
businesswoman.
Shame
no,
me.
That's what that.
She's just a whore.
A whore is a businesswoman.
Yes. Yeah,
and I'd say her mother. Chris is the businesswoman because she figured out how to make all those nasty dollars.
And also, she's a pimp. Released actually. They are whores.
Pimping out her family.
All you lazy cunts are going to make money, and I'm going to have somebody fuck you first and put it on.
But listen, I got to tell you what.
Hope you like black guys.
I'm in. I'm so much better.
Who the hell is Ray J?
If all I have to do is like just show up on camera and be hot, yeah, I'm into that. I'll take it.
I'm into that.
I will do those things.
You know what? Remember earlier you made the comment about the age difference with us?
Yes.
Wait, when you get to this side of the table's age, and eventually you won't care about that anymore. Oh, I'll be like, yeah, fuck you. Show up with the camera.
I still wonder why my dad didn't give me a trust fund. Motherfucker.
Yeah. Because he's still alive.
Well, I'm not a trust fund baby. No, I'm guessing, to my dad.
I'm guessing that money's stowed away somewhere for therapy later for you. It's just
probably
a guess.
They started it years ago and they went, now there's going to be more.
They're going to be more.
Wait. Yeah. Just wait for a while.
Just keep investing the money, Jim.
But I've asked my dad, why am I not a trust fund baby? And then he just walks away. So. Yeah. I haven't gotten a solid answer.
You're not going to.
Until he's dead, and then you find out. Trust fund?
No, because he's walking away to go spend some money.
Yeah, because mom's buying a gold-plated casket.
Well, you know what? As she should. A casket? That's weird. But yes, a gold-plated...
Something.
Wrist cuff, perhaps? Like a, earring?
Well, the second they buy that 45-foot RV and start traveling the country, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You're
done. Well, you know what? Actually, in reality, I hope they do. I hope my parents buy the RV and invite me.
At the very least. I went to talk to, like... the person that kind of handles my $2 today.
Both of them? Both dollars?
Both dollars.
One and two.
And he had a question about like my financial goals. I'm like, to die at zero or slightly below. Like, I want to have to borrow the couple bucks for my last cup of coffee before I kick off. And he's just cracking up. He's like, really? I'm like, oh, there's no one to leave it to. That money, that account has to be at zero.
Yes, right. I want to bottom out.
I go right after the cable bill can no longer be paid. And he just stared at me across the table. I'm like, oh, dead serious. Like, there's a finish line.
It's my money. I'm taking it.
And the money makes it there and then no further. Mm-hmm. Who do you bequeath this to? What to?
No. Yeah. What are you referring to?
Well, Clayton's going to come to my house and take anything that might ever be used again in the future. Right. Other than that.
I'll still be around. So whatever you guys... Yeah,
if you're going with this young thing again, you're going to die before
I will still be around.
Oh, it's certainly not a lack of people standing around being still alive. It's a question of like... Oh no, that's tapped out.
Right, and you should.
That wig was borrowed. That you're burying her in.
But
you
really,
gotta snatch it back when you close the coffin.
But you're
it's
right.
It's got the price tag on it.
It's a mini pearl wig. You are right. You are right. That's how everyone. I think everyone should go. That's really true. Actually, we say that to Kelly's mom. Kelly's mom goes, well, I want to blah, blah, blah. And Kelly and I are like, no. You do this and this and this.
Yep.
And we'll
we
see you on
every
the other
account
side.
And see 0.06. Yes, like 6 or 7 cents because they couldn't make correct change.
Right.
And then donate to the Ronald McDonald House
right,
or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw that in the kitty.
Make a wish with this, kid.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Keep it simple.
Wait, but side note, Chloe says that they should give us booze at the dentist.
No, then you'll bleed.
Just knock us out. But she says everyone would go, and I think she's right.
Yeah, she's right.
You've got like a marketing strategy, like we serve champagne,
but you'll bleed out.
Yeah, give him pot. No bleeding. Still is happy.
Good. Yes, marijuana at the doctor.
And may take a nap.
My dentist in the early '80s in New York, and it's why I am so bad about going to the dentist.
I love the dentist
because. My dentist back in the '80s would gas you for anything.
Oh, yeah.
He would gas you to fill out the form.
That actually sounds awesome.
That's okay. What's wrong with that?
No, but when I came out here, they don't.
It.
Everyone's like, I want you to be deliciously awake with a numb mouth for this procedure. No, gas.
Yeah, well, they'll give you gas at that place, but anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
But $75. I'm like, it's like a buffet of charges.
Oh, no.
You $75.
Now, this is new. You didn't tell me there was a... I'll pay the fucking fee.
I'm telling you.
You gas my ass.
Yeah. Open Wide Dental is phenomenal. Yep. But
I
just found out that when I went there. Because I was like, by the way, kind of
a
baby
about
this.
The timing is right and the moment is stupid.
I'm telling you right now, I don't handle things
well. Are you about to do...
Oh, the timing is right and the moment is super to... While he's gassing himself to a palpable stupor to ready, aim, fire, and blow the sick bastard away.
What is that from?
It's from the musical.
I'll be your dentist, your dentist, and I'll enjoy all the pain I inflict. I'll enjoy it. I'll be your dentist.
But it's not from the movie. It's from the musical.
No, it's from the musical.
I'll be your dentist.
By the way, the musical is...
Little Shop of Horrors.
Thank you.
Oh.
Oh, that's such a, I just got goosebumps. Oh my God. Can we scrap the rest of the show and just do,
okay. I've been like three show tunes tonight recently.
We can't afford it.
I'm suddenly Seymour'd out.
Yeah. Suddenly Seymour.
Yeah.
She, I hated her until I loved her. Like when I, you know what I mean?
You're so passive aggressive.
Thanks.
I did. I hated her so much. So and much. Then I just,
by the way,
her.
What did you do, like a latte or espresso before you got here? Because you're fucking wired tonight, Katie.
That's actually a true story. I did have about 4 to 5 cups of coffee today.
Yes. But then there's true. Also the three what?
I also had 3 glasses of wine before I arrived.
Oh.
Yeah. And that guess how much food I've had?
None.
One juice, a real small piece of pork with barbecue sauce, and like a Pop-Tart.
Okay. Jesus, well, you are the healthiest woman I know.
If only somebody had brought like berries or something to help you with.
Or why didn't you?
I saw them.
You normally go to AJ's and get food.
I just didn't have time. I was having wine.
Fair enough.
With my good friend Bob Jacobson.
You were just out of town again, Mr. Perkins, and I visited your house several times.
And thank you for doing that. I was in the lovely land of Temecula, California, which I heretofore had not known where it was.
You drank a lot of wine over there.
We called it drive to the California border and make a left, which is about as... about as detailed as I can get as to where that place is.
Because I feel like you were pretty drunk.
I Googled it and figured it out.
But it was... they have a wine country, and I learned a couple things. First... This is their Viognier. Try this, see if you like it. You're a little boozy, so you might not notice. Not a lot of good whites, a couple of good reds, but we learned that French are not...
It's like very, very, very mild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Europeans are not allowed to manipulate wine at all, so they can't irrigate crops. If it's a dry season, it's a dry season. If it's a wet season, it's a wet season. California, no such rules. Because they're constantly in drought. So my question is always like, how can you grow grapes here with all this drought?
Well, there's no water.
They bring in the water. They rely on like hillsides and mountains for, random moisture. But they do a lot. So you don't really have to know the year of a certain vintage of California wine. It doesn't really matter because if it was dry, they wet it.
Got it.
The only thing would be is in the rare instance where it was an excessively wet year.
So I'm going to guess that in the Sparklets truck shows up and they have...
and they just pour it all over.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
But I mean, it was a wonderful time. It's a really fun city to visit. It's only like 5 hours away.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey. Hey. Small town in the valley, in the Temecula Valley. Very cute, charming. There's like 40 vineyards.
Isn't that is that north and east of San Diego?
If you made a triangle from L.A. and San Diego, you would...
Oh, inland. So you're super inland.
You're inland, yes. But you're like an hour from Carlsbad and Oceanside. Wow. Would be like, if you didn't go the triangle routes, the two
big
cities...
straight to the ocean.
Directly west would be like Oceanside, which we eventually had to Google. But we had a fabulous cab driver that we met, our first cab ride. His name was Philip, and he gave us his card, and he took us everywhere.
You were pleasantly drunk the entire time.
Pleasingly drunk we were. We had a good time. Harrison showed up Sunday afternoon.
My Harrison fun.
She made the drive down from L.A., and she took a back way, so it was much shorter than she was anticipating. And we did some vineyards on Saturday. We did 3 with a tour that was a Jeep tour that we booked. Which was kind of, it was a lot of fun. Our guide was really good. We had a great time with her. We had 2 passengers in the back of the pink Jeep that were fun. They opened up after the second vineyard. Yeah, we had fun.
That's important.
What was the...
it could have gone really wrong for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just get out of the heat. And none of us were, like, I wasn't particularly excited about it, but the girls that I was going with are a good time. We've been hanging out a lot.
Oh, it sounds fun. I love a pink Jeep tour.
Yeah, and I meant the whole excursion. But then the day before we went, I Googled the weather, and they were like, it's a high of 88. I'm like, it's my new favorite place. Can't get there fast enough.
I'm in. Right.
What was this slim thing or thin thing?
Oh, because my friend Danielle doesn't have
looked on her. She's a person.
Yeah. Doesn't have it. She doesn't like Facebook, but because of some challenge.
Slim down.
Because of some weight loss challenge at work that they're doing, she needed a Facebook account. So she picked the name Slim Down.
Okay.
So you really have to know where to find her. But so it just got funnier and funnier that I was calling her Slim Down.
Because you were with
Slim Down.
Because you
kept referring
to Slim
Down. She was farting. Maybe somebody else was.
It just because we did the Jeep tour, made the good decision of 3 stops.
Okay.
That was a very wise decision to say 3 stops. Well, Philip, our cab driver, said he recommended a couple places. And he's like, if you don't hit these 2... why don't you call me from one of the vineyards and I'll come pick you up and I'll do the last 2.
Oh, fun.
So we were trashed at stop number three. But we were having a lovely time, and maybe they were not enjoying us as much at this place that we went to.
It happens.
But we ordered a case. We ordered a case of wine.
Good. So they did like in November.
We bought futures. So funny. And so we're like playing around laughing, and the Julie, our cruise director, comes in.
Julie, our cruise director.
And she's like, I don't want to rush you, but we really are over time, and I have the late afternoon tour to pick up. So you got to go. And we're like, oh, no, Julie, we got a backup plan. We're calling Philip. So she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, well, leave us here. We'll find our
way
back.
We're all set.
We're good. So she was so nice. She'd already invited us if we came back to stay in her house. We could enjoy her guest room. Like, she was having so much fun with us. So she gives us our bags of our wine purchases, and she's like, honest to God, if this cab thing doesn't work out, call me, and I'll come get you while another group is at a tasting.
She was obsessed with you guys.
Not obsessed. She was just really...
she liked you, yeah.
And it's a small town. Like, we were literally 20 minutes from our hotel. Like, the vineyards are really right there.
Right.
It's just down... It's not a big, long trek or anything. But Philip came and got us. He took us to, and he was like so excited to see us, so nice. He'd shown us around the night before. Very friendly, glad to see us, got our bags. We had to take our bags in the first place so we could make a couple runs, make some money. And then he took us to the second one. He's like, just leave your bags here. He made arrangements in advance for us. He got us reservations because we were late. Got us in. They stayed open for us. And we went from the wine time to the dinner time, and they kept it going. And he's like, I'll just wait around for you guys. And then we just stayed. And that tasting, they were all hesitating to serve us. Like, everybody there was like, and the one girl had wine. We had wine off. Because we had,
oh, Lord. Good Lord.
Everybody was swirling red wine.
Oh, yeah.
But we couldn't swirl anymore. So Slim Down was just basically cycloning wine under her yellow shirt. And then she started spilling on herself. Well, I'm thinking I'm holding it together. In my mind, I am.
You're the sober one.
Sure.
So we're spraying her down with wine off. Then we finish. And the guy that came over with this thing, we loved him. So we start following him around, which looks really good. So we're following this... the waiter / manager all through from the wine part to the restaurant part. We're like singing to dogs because they had dog, like, oh, a dog. And you could see everybody be like, oh, no, 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 no.
Who are these people?
Your breath is going to get that dog drunk. So then we wander around further and we find the wedding chapel.
Oh, goodness. Oh,
so
good
I don't know
Lord.
If we're actually on screen, but the wedding chapel is on a hill way to the front of me. And there's like a gazebo where you would get married under and some picnic tables or stuff like that that you would decorate to make it into your wedding arch. So my friend Tiffany, who planned the trip and came up with this whole thing, she's walking towards me and she's like, take a picture of me. Now, meanwhile, Slim Down's over here. And Slim Down's like, we've been standing up for like 8 hours. They never offer you a stool. And I'm like, okay. So I'm getting ready to take her picture. And all of a sudden, Slim Down's like, I'm going to sit down here. And she sits down on the ground, and I take a picture over here, and I take a picture and sit down there, and then I take another picture of Tiffany. Now somebody's in the picture with her, and then Slim Down's like, oh my God, I'm so comfortable. And she, if I hadn't put the caption I did, you would just think she was doing a throw her head back in a glorious sunny day, but no. She just threw her head back, went to sleep a little bit, and let out the loudest fart ever heard. And so I turn around, Lord. I take a picture of that, and I hear, yep. That's what you heard. I did it.
Oh, my God.
Touch me in the morning.
So then we get the text from Philip saying, I'm outside. Maybe it's time for you guys to go. Now, he can't see what's going on, but I'm like, Philip says we got to go. So we couldn't get out. We were going down all these paths of, like, grapevines. Could not find our way out. Finally, we get out there, and we all get in the car, and we sit down, and he goes, wow. You're all fucked up. And he's like, making dinner. He's trying to make dinner reservations. We're like, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, we just need to go pass out.
We had so much fun. And then the second night, Harrison came down. We sat by the pool all day, drank, had fun. And then at the end, we went to a nice dinner. We were all like able to keep ourselves in check to go to a nice dinner, even though we were clearly altered. Left. We sat outside by ourselves. We were like, altered. You don't want us inside your restaurant. Like, can we have that patio table out there? And so they set it for us. We're like, surely you can tell by looking at us that we should not be around adults. So we were in the kids' table outside laughing. I couldn't even sit up straight. Like, laughing our asses off. And then finally we just sat up and drank wine that we bought and played Uno till like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like,
oh my gosh.
Drunk so up our fun. Asses. But it was a great trip, so I'm back. And
I love
just,
it.
But you're done traveling for a while to get back on your normal schedule, right?
Yeah, for a couple of months. I'm actually 2.5 months.
Aren't you going in October somewhere?
To Puerto Rico. So
I feel like in all of the time that I've known you, you've never traveled this much.
Well, now the further I get away from school, the more we're getting back to my old travel schedule of I travel a lot.
I am feeling incredibly envious of your life.
Mama likes to get away.
I might stab you in the jugular.
So that was it.
Not
and then now
I
was your trip.
Well, just because I'm jealous that you can.
Well, oh, yes. Deadly. On that's
the,
for sure.
I'll take people who don't like traveling for a million, Alex. That'd be me. Because I don't like traveling. I don't. I like my world, like my routine, like all that shit. So sure. What did I do on Monday last week? Because I got up at the crack of oh fucking God.
Yeah.
After sleeping for, 2 hours I slept. And then
just the two, huh?
A lovely Uber cab came, got me. The lovely gentleman drops me off at the airport. The only advantage of getting to the airport at 5 a.m. is there's really not that many people there.
Or nobody.
Not as much. Granted, it's a Monday, so people are business traveling as well as I was. So it was a minimal, you know, the whole thing, yada, yada. Not as many families, just a bunch of individual people flying. So got up, flew most of the way to Atlanta unconscious because I slept. Because I got on that plane and made a beeline to the very back row.
Yeah, good call.
Had a row to myself. The lovely thing was, and this is kind of funny to me, I didn't realize that there was a 2009 live Tina Turner concert that was released, I'm going to guess around 9 or 10. Didn't know it existed, just bought the album. I listened to that concert 8 times.
Wow. Oh,
just over and over and over and over. It's a lovely. I just enjoyed a live concert from her. Anyway, so my time, it is really beautiful in Atlanta. It's so lush and green, and I had forgotten. Every time I go back to Missouri, I forget it's so green.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you get this when you go back to New York as well. And you going back to the Twin Cities.
No, I would not. I wouldn't picture Missouri.
Careful.
Yeah. Careful. I know, but not I wouldn't picture it as so green.
It's very green. Very, very lush
super
and green. But
then, there's a Missouri River running right down the middle.
Yeah, but for some reason, I just picture Missouri as like...
But if you get a little further...
Plains,
But we're kind of at the end of that. So right where the Missouri-Kansas state line is, you start then going, you know... miles west into Kansas, you get to the plain states, the plain area where it doesn't have as much, just like Oklahoma, Texas, the further. But if you look at a map and it just goes and it goes dark and we went up in the desert like we are here.
Yeah, right.
So it was incredibly lush and green. Everybody was very, very nice. It's a huge airport. That all worked out well. We didn't have any time to go see anything. We stayed at the W Hotel in Midtown. Very nice
patio,
kitschy.
Like looked lovely. Like
that was the morning. I woke up for no reason at 6. Oh my God! In the morning, which was what, like 3 a.m. here.
Yeah,
I don't know what the fuck was wrong with me. But anyway, we walked back and forth. Very thick air. Very, very humid.
Yeah.
But we didn't. I wanted to go do the CNN tour. Couldn't do it because there was just really no time. It literally was hotel to the bar that we set up, back and forth, back and forth. That was all we did.
Oh, you were busy.
The first day, Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. I was there 18 solid hours.
Wow.
Tuesday last week. I went in at 11 a.m. and left at 4 a.m.
Oh my
Wednesday.
God. That is insane.
So it was a lot. But I did get to enjoy it because these are the things that I guess living in the big city, like, and you've been into the New Yorks of the world, Al. The lovely thing was I was able to walk about 10, 12 minutes from the bar on this one street, get to the Midtown, which is called the MARTA, which is the Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, and you just jump on and you ride a subway directly to the airport. So, nice. Though it's about a 20-minute subway ride, it doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. You get on one fucking train,
and you're done.
And you go right to the airport.
Sure.
It's crazy. So, that all worked out real good. Now, going back, it's in the middle of the week. So, you've got people... There were four huge... I saw the Osmonds were traveling with us. There were four groups of... All these fucking kids everywhere crying.
So itchy, and I like kids, and I have one, and that's hard. Yeah, that's horrible.
Itchy, fidgy, scratchy, sneezy, dopey, all of them. We're all there crying and all that stuff. So that was an interesting mess. So then, as we're sitting there, you know, as the pre-boarders are, when you fly, the pre-boarders...
I am a pre-boarder.
It's family and children. Mm-hmm. It's the elderly. Anybody needs assistance? Well... They rolled Marge up in a wheelchair, and Marge was with her daughter, and the daughter, I think the daughter was probably in her early 70s.
Uh-oh.
Marge was probably pushing the centennial area of the lifespan. Sure. She rolls up in a wheelchair, and she's already doubled over. Like, literally, I kid you not.
Oh, I saw this on your Facebook. Okay.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Doubled over.
Marge.
They get Marge, on the plane.
But why, really? Why?
Here, we'll get to that question in a second.
So, well, her burial plot.
So she gets, they get her on the plane.
I don't know.
She's alive. They actually load her. She's alive. Clearly.
Maybe?
She has an oxygen thing. No. I'm pretty sure that if they would have loaded her up and there was no life sign, they'd have been like, ixnay on the anagram. I'm going to guess.
Then you got to buy the three seats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Prop her up. You only got to buy one seat. Yeah.
So,
wow.
Or it's extra baggage.
So we are, we're midair. I'm sleeping. I'm nodding off, listening to Tina Turner playing solitaire, yada, yada, yada. All of a sudden I hear, please prepare. We are making our final descent into the Phoenix metropolitan area. Thank you for flying. Blah, blah, fucking blah. So we land and I'm thinking, and it was a beautiful.
You have such a good airplane voice. Well, I want you to.
I practice. So it was a beautiful plane. It was like a brand new Southwest Airlines 300 something. The luggage racks, when they fold up, the whole goddamn plane opens up, and it's wonderful. Anyway, but maybe that's a 10-year-old plane, and I just don't know because I don't go anywhere. Anyway, so we land, and we are taxiing like we're in NASCAR. We are going so fucking fast, and I'm like, wow, we are going fast. And they get us from the from there to the tarmac and pull up to the very last gate at the end of the concourse. And I'm like, wow, we are just rolling fast.
Because that's sudden, never a fast procedure.
We get there and it's like, stop. And then everybody's like, you know, you hear every seatbelt in the world unbuckled. Everybody jumps up and all of a sudden some gal comes on the thing. Could y'all please stay seated for a minute? We have a situation in the front of the cabin. Please just stay seated for just a minute. So we all sit back down. Well, six beefy EMTs board our plane and go right for Marge.
Oh, no.
And I'm looking up, and the guy behind me is like, well, and he's an idiot. We were 25 minutes late in getting the plane because the plane got to us 25 late.
Sure.
So we were late getting out of Atlanta. And he's like, well, she's the reason we were late. And I'm like, and I didn't say anything because I'm like, I'm not getting in a fight with Redneck Bob over here. So I see the EMT hold her hand, look at his watch,
Jesus.
Look for a pulse.
Oh, for God's sakes.
There's no pulse. So I had Marge passed away midair somewhere in the 4 hours between Atlanta and Phoenix. Not sure where. Anyway, I then see her daughter take out her trusty Judy Jetson phone of the future, her flip phone, and she called somebody, and I could read her lips. Mom died.
Mom's dead.
Mom died.
By the way,
we got her to Phoenix.
We're not going to make the wedding.
Did you have a good flight? Well, Mom died.
Mom died.
But just a couple minutes behind schedule.
She got to see, you know, when we flew over Kansas.
The peanuts were fantastic, but Mom's dead.
Mom's dead.
We found out Mom has an allergy to peanuts.
Yeah. We found out Mom has an allergy to peanuts.
That is so horrible.
So, now,
it was really hilarious.
What I'd like to know, and I'm sure we could back, in fact, I actually text Mark Martinez, or I Facebooked him this because I thought maybe they would like to know that, you know, somebody passed away. It's a newsworthy thing, whatever. Anyway, so they make the declaration she's done. They take a blanket, they lay it over Marge, which
they
were really, really, really cool about it. Like the crew of Southwest handled it wonderfully. I'd like to know when they decided that there may be a problem, because when we got there, it wasn't we land the plane, stand by, ambulances roll up. No, we rolled up, ambulances were there.
Yeah.
Somewhere over, I don't know, Albuquerque, they're like, Marge isn't breathing, let's call somebody.
Well, it might have been one of those things where they thought
Grandma
she was asleep.
Just died.
Well, they thought she was asleep, and then by the time they realized something had gone wrong.
Chloe said she was already halfway to heaven.
So at roughly three quarters of the time through the flight, you heard ding.
Yeah.
And the flight attendant came up. Can I help you? Did you need another drink?
Yeah, my grandma just died.
No, mom passed, I think.
Don't alarm anybody.
She was probably... Because there was someone who died on our flight.
But I think that's exactly how it went down.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Somebody died on our flight back from Vegas years ago.
Right.
And it was
so
Jesus.
What they did, and kudos to Southwest Airlines. I thought they were phenomenal. They took a blanket because all older people fly with blankets because they all get cold,
really.
So they literally put a blanket over Marge, and the entire crew kind of built a shield around her in the row in front of and behind, shielded her off, and they did all their goodbye, bye now, bye. While Marge is behind her taking a nap. We all got off the plane. I made it from the plane to so I get off the plane, the jetway, and there are 18 other EMTs inside. Everybody's like, what's going on? What's going on? We got to get back to Poughkeepsie or whatever the fuck they're going. I make it from the plane to baggage claim, get my bag, make it all the way up to the SkyTrain, and there's a guy watching out the window. wonder what that ambulance is doing next to that plane. Like, oh, you were on that flight? And he says, no. And I'm like, well, let me tell you, Marge died.
Yeah.
And about that time, they take her out of the, they bring her down the chute, and they put her in an ambulance.
They bring her down the chute.
Whatever it was.
Now, have we talked about it on this show before that people will do this? That people will, I've talked about this with someone before somewhere, that people will fly their real super senior citizen, real old, very close to death, loved ones. They'll put them on a flight to send them to where they want to die because it's a lot less expensive to buy a plane ticket
exactly
than
right.
to send a dead body.
Yeah. Yes,
so if
is.
You know that someone's like on the literally well, you, their last day,
talk about
like,
timing.
Hey, I'm going to fly you, and you want to be buried in Phoenix to grandpa? Let's take a trip. And they'll really go out there with
well,
them.
Well, that is what I'm going to guess because there's no way anybody didn't realize that Marge was on her last.
I
there
mean,
really wasn't.
What do you think? I mean, I don't know. I think I don't know.
Hey,
I mean,
they're going to say it's like
I
a coupon.
Say it's smart.
If you're
right.
yeah. But if you're Marge, really, you're so out of it at that point. You don't know if you're
well,
dying.
No,
where
at
you're
what
dying?
Point,
no,
how do you,
Chloe.
How do you deal
Chloe,
with
there,
this?
Chloe, there was no bad smell. She died 20 minutes before we landed the plane. There was no post-mortem.
Like, no, like
smell.
Decaying
open the
body.
Sadly, it was.
Oh my God!
Ben Gay
what
and
if?
Polly Grip was about probably the only thing that I was going to get any scent of. She was fine, and it was so cool and breezy in that no. plane. There was no way she could have decomposed.
No.
It was lovely.
That takes a much higher temperature.
Yes. Sure. But anyway, so that was the capper of my trip was that. Oh, so then to top that off, I was going to Uber cab. Well, what happened? Well, I'd listened to that fucking Tina Turner concert so many goddamn times. My phone was not only dead from the phone, also the backup battery. I got nothing.
No.
I couldn't call anybody because what do we have now? I don't know anybody's phone number. I couldn't just call Uber because it's an app.
Well, and you don't have your charger?
Not on the plane.
Yeah, but when you got off the plane.
Yeah, but he'd have to sit in the airport.
Right, then I'd have to sit there for 30 minutes.
It takes like 20 minutes.
So then,
like 15 minutes to charge up from
so
dead.
So then I get my piece of luggage that I borrowed from my neighbor across the street because I don't own any hard side luggage because I don't travel. Sure. Well, what happened? Well, like one of the goddamn wheels got busted off of it. So now I can't even pull the motherfucker because it's like pulling a leper behind me.
Be like Dragon Marge.
Right. So I get that.
That's code for dead weight now.
So I had to carry that. Then I have to make it all the way to the fucking light rail. Not only to get on the light rail, and then there was a crackhead black guy on there who was just going nuts. He's like, guess my age! Guess my age, motherfucker! Guess my age! Oh. And I'm like, well, I'm going to guess that you're probably 27, but you look about 70. And he's like, I'm 52!
Oh,
and
okay.
I own houses in California, and I got a son! Oh. Then he got in a fight with two lesbians who had just got married.
Jesus.
He got in a fight with them. And when she stood up, when he said, well, I don't like people like you, she was taller than me.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And she was like a Britney Griner, and she could have beat the shit
out of
him.
I love her.
And she and her new wife decided they were going to leave the car, and they exited. And there was no other incident. But it was just interesting that my entire trip was
capped.
But don't
you just wish that sometimes that lesbian would kick the shit out of him?
Oh, I was ready. I would have loved, I would have enjoyed that.
That would be great.
I would have.
I would have enjoyed it for a thousand, Alex. Thanks, Alex.
Very much so. Well, that's catching up. Goddamn, 52 minutes of love and tenderness right there, and we managed to get through it. Well, thank you all. Everybody's in the chat room. They're just chatting away. Everybody, Harrison, Tomo, Jeffrey,
in multiple languages.
Chloe.
Hi, Chatty Patatis.
Oh, there was a petition up here for subtitles in French. Nope, because we have enough trouble with English.
I say so, hola.
Yeah, hola. Well, that's even English.
Buena vida. Is that a thing? Au revoir.
We're closer to the southern border than the northern border.
Oh, my God.
Me llamo es Katie. ¿Dónde está el baño?
What in the fuck, Katie?
Necesito una cerveza. Pero no llevo ropa.
Yeah.
I need a beer, but I'm not wearing any clothes. It's actually the only thing I learned at church camp. Church camp. I'll say it again. Church camp.
I am not wearing
just remember,
any clothes.
You don't need use. Me llamo Katie.
Necesito una cerveza.
S-O-C-K-S? I learned that from...
Oh, Christ.
You are
cross.
Killing me.
Now, luckily, the church taught you the grammatically correct way, but it's That's just right. Me llamo Katie.
What did I say?
Because you say I called myself the Katie.
Me llamo Katie?
No, me llamo Katie.
That's what they taught us in like 7th grade.
That's wrong.
I don't know who is...
I call myself Katie.
I would like to welcome whoever is listening in Greece to the show.
Mi nombre es Katie. My name is Katie.
If you're in Greece listening to us, thank you for doing. Please join us in the chat room if you can and let us know who you are, how you found us. At this point, wow, look at that. All those people listening live to us right now. 11 people in countries around the world and in America.
Yeah.
Good old America. We're going to come back with some headlines and other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Moments from now. That's... Stick with us. It's Q-Talk America.
You're listening to Q-Talk America.
30 seconds of jelly jiggling fun. This is your 30-second dance break.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait.
This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
It's all going to shit. It's headlines on a Tuesday night. It's Marnie and me and trying to read English.
Because that way you don't have to do a crossover. Just do it now.
We'll work on it. Cops arrest a winner of a donut eating contest.
And Cunter is still classy.
Teen tries to drain an entire pond to find his phone.
My meth was better last time.
Yes.
When is the best time to sext people?
Where's the beef?
Fried chicken vendor has an offensive logo.
Homophobic homophones.
And woman charged with stealing an ankle monitor in our favorite state.
Yes!
These and many more stories and other bullshit we're going to talk about coming up, well, now.
Now.
We'll do it now. No, we're going to do two stories. They'll do a crossover, and then we'll come back with the drinking word. Save it. You got a good drinking word, though, Al.
I do.
So stand by, people. He says he's got a good one. Well, Elizabeth, North Carolina is where we're going to start. An Elizabeth City man celebrated out eating some fellow police or some police officers. That sounds very bad. Stand by. Let me read this again.
Try again.
An Elizabeth City man who was celebrating by... I can't correct this.
Do you want to go to the drinking word?
An Elizabeth City man celebrated out eating police officers only to find out that he couldn't outrun them. The Camden County Sheriff's Office has been looking for 24-year-old Bradley Herbert Hardison in connection with two break-ins, and the Sheriff Tony Perry said that while nothing was taken, the front doors of both establishments had been damaged in the attempted break-ins. Hardison was arrested on Wednesday, one day after he won an adult division of a donut-eating contest at the Elizabeth City Police Department's National Night Out Against Crime. Hardison ate 8 donuts in 2 minutes, beating a group that included local police officers and firefighters. In addition to the Camden County charges, Hardison is charged with the... It's Passaquoitank County, with felony larceny and breaking and entering. He is jailed under a $2,000 bond, and at press time, it is not known if he has legal representation.
Sure. Well, sure.
Now, the county is P-A-S-Q-U-O Tank. Pasquotank County?
Pasquotanky.
Something like that.
Pasquotanky.
I bet all you people in Canada don't know what it is.
anybody that's ever...
been to North Carolina?
No, just read a road sign, because everything back there...
I have read road signs.
No, but in that area...
Green ones, too.
Everyone has from those same tribes with all the... Like I told you about the Skajakwita Expressway that I took to college. If you actually see the word Skajakwita read out, it takes like 4 signs.
Okay, gotcha.
So you're like, you know what I mean?
Well, Passamaquoddy is where he beats Dragon.
You know, Chesapeake. You know what I mean? There's
that.
Pascahookati.
Marn.
Well, that's a lot.
I think she's just saying noises.
Ann Cunter.
Still so classy.
Still alive. She hasn't died from your suicide or whatever you call it, death to Ann Coulter.
No, that was Sarah Palin. That was this one.
No, I know.
He came up with hashtag.
Right. Death to
her. About death to Ann Coulter.
Stupid women.
She's a cunt. That one is. So now she has a new outlook.
Oh God, I know what this
she
is.
She has a new outlook. She's a bright one.
So I don't guess
Ann
I
Coulter
know this.
Has suggested today, this being today on August 7th,
okay,
that America should infect migrant children with Ebola in order to discourage illegal immigration. Yep. Go ahead, let that sink in.
Yep. And actually, Ebola. I'm going to need a minute.
Yep.
Can you read the headline again?
Ebola.
Can you just read the headline again?
Give me Ebola.
Ann Coulter's a cunt.
Yeah, Ann Coulter's a cunt.
That's what we get from this story.
That's the headline.
First thing she says, the first thing I would do is infect every one of those kids with the Ebola virus, she told Sean Hannity. Of course she did. The reason why people come to this country is because the government gives illegal immigrants free goodies like welfare. I say we give them a free case of hemorrhagic fever instead. If we pump every illegal child in this country full of Ebola, parents would think twice before sending their kids to U.S. shores. This is just a classic case of making lemonade out of lemons. Whether we like it or not, this disease has arrived in America, so let's put it to good use.
Still a cunt.
It's arrived in America in the best place in the world to fucking contain it and treat it.
All right.
It's not widespread.
Almost. Infecting the immigrants with such a deadly virus may seem like an extreme solution. However, Coulter explains that her plan goes far beyond killing a few thousand innocent kids. The best part is that once the children are infected, we can deport them back to that Central America where they can infect the rest of the population, she explained. Once all the taco jockeys in Central America...
Shut up.
Are dead, we'll colonize the territory with Americans.
I hope this is a joke.
We could put up a few McDonald's, Walmarts, and Home Depots. Maybe build a Disneyland.
There's no way this is a real story.
It would be a paradise.
Yeah, yeah. DailyCurrent.com.
God,
I tell you. Because I was honestly, I'm thinking to, while you're reading that, like,
that you can see it happening.
I was really like gathering my thoughts during, while you're reading it. I'm like, this is actually, I can't laugh about it. Like, I can't, literally cannot laugh about
the
story.
Like, come on.
And, until I go, please, Jesus, let this be a paradise. But maybe it's not.
But the best part about the Daily Current is that they have the link on the CNN page. So you're on a legit, like, you're not on The Onion and they link you to the Daily Current. You're on the CNN page, and it has the link.
Because it's real enough to be real.
Because sometimes they just take the headline, and it sounds believable.
Yeah.
And that's
what was the What was the taco jockey?
Second page.
Oh, my favorite.
When she said taco jockey, I thought, okay, this could be real. Because that bitch would say
that.
That
the funny part where that is what makes
the
it
real part.
Once all the taco jockeys in Central America are dead. Wow.
They're expecting civil liberties and freedom, but instead we're going to give them a hemorrhagic fever. That's
I read that and I went, come on. Oh, yeah, this is the Daily Current.
I read that to them at the pool the other day because I'm like, it's just because you on and you, the Daily Current,
it's
they're writing.
It's painful because it really sounds great. Like legit.
Because the Onion, you know they're going for a laugh.
But
the Daily Current,
sounds
they
real.
Keep it serious. Like, you don't get to the laugh to, like, the fourth paragraph.
Yeah. Like, and then you go. Disneyland.
That was funny.
Exactly.
I'm always sad I don't subscribe to them because they're as funny as the Onion, but more mean.
They really are. But when you have that kind of shit, whether it's Palin, Bachman.
That's the Bachman Gay Cruise
Hunter,
people.
Exactly.
That's how we all found out that the Daily Current was satire, but that took a lot of investigating.
It really did. Fantastic.
And that was a good read because you didn't crack up until the very end. Very good, Marty Ryer. Satirical story on
Thank
our.
Thank you.
The fact that you made it through Taco Jock.
End of hour. One. Hour two is coming. We're going to come right back with the drinking word. Continue on with headlines. Much, much more coming. We got two whole fucking hours. Get a beverage and stand by.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again, just a little bit after 8 o'clock in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining us. This is Clayton McKee coming to you live from Studio C. We do it every Tuesday, most Tuesdays. We're live. A couple weeks we've had to miss, but thank you all for listening to us. Coming to you, people from Jordan, Greece, all over the United States, Auckland, New Zealand, Canada, everywhere listening. Thank you all for being with us, joining us in the chat room. This is The Show on Q Talk America, and at the beginning of hour two, we always start with a little something we call our legal disclaimer due to legal... I was going to try to make it something. Fuck
don't
it.
Drink
anyway,
and drive.
Don't, yeah, here it is. It's the drinking disclaimer. We play it every week. Here you go.
And now, a drink along.
We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our drinking word is horse feathers.
What? Horse feathers?
I just like the way you say it. That's all.
Inspired by
last week we were doing simulations and teaching, and we had to you have to introduce scenario. You have to fuck up machines that are running smoothly and make them false. So you do it, but you can't do it while somebody's watching, so that they know what you fucked up to fix it. You have to find a way to keep them occupied in the other side of the room. Fuck up the machine and walk away so they don't catch it. So we were like, well, what's the code word when you have them distracted? And when everybody was looking, horse feathers.
You would.
It sounds like Charles Nelson Ryan. Horse feathers.
And
like
for
Charles
the rest.
Nelson Ryan.
And then it went because the people that I did it with all went to.
Or Smagglepuss.
We all went to Temecula together.
Horse feathers.
So, of course, when everyone was at a loss for words, horse feathers.
Horse feathers. Mr. Murgatroyd, his horse feathers are fun. I love the horse. So, if you don't know, if you are new to us, the drinking word is every time you hear us say horse feathers, feel free to take a sip of a beverage.
It's just a funny phrase.
No matter what it is that you're drinking. Is it Marnie? Is it my turn? It's my turn.
It is yours. Yep.
Well,
yeah, she had thunder cunt.
That's right.
A German teen tried to drain an entire pond of water with water hoses after dropping his iPhone during a fishing trip. God. The unidentified teen was with other members of a fishing club and was not allowed by fellow fishermen to dive into the pond after the phone. So he thought, well, I'll return hours later. With an idea of draining the pond. So he brought a pump, some water hoses, and then he decided to direct the water into a nearby toilet so that the water would go away. Yep. Well, it didn't work out too well. The toilet was connected to a sewage system, and his efforts wound up flooding an entire parking lot. He says, quote, I knew the phone was probably dead. No shit, it hit water. But he said, I wanted to get the data card back with the numbers and pictures and the videos of my friends, he said. The teen now has to pay for damage to the toilet and the cleanup. And a new phone.
The toilet does not have legal representation.
At this time.
Horse feathers.
Or he may have had shitty representation. I don't know. Yes.
Well, hey, where are my pants?
Oh, I don't know. Did you ship them?
I ship my pants. It's so convenient.
Where are your pants?
I ship my bed.
Well, there was a teacher that was arrested on her first day of week.
Oh, my God.
She showed up drunk. And without
I
pants.
I saw the headline. So
just saw the headline. I don't know the story.
I didn't read the article.
That picture.
Yes.
She's a looker.
She really
there's
is.
Handa.
She's a
pretty
honey.
Girl hey. Is like a
Wait,
melody.
Can I just say that the header on this photo is new teacher arrested drunk and pantless.
Yeah. He wore my pants.
So well, this one just says drunk teacher.
Yeah, I know. I like that one.
And you know,
they're both awesome.
Remember,
drunk and pantless.
You won't.
Equally as attractive.
You won't remember this.
Because you're too young.
Because
remember?
You're remember?
Oh, yeah,
remember
no,
that Van Halen song, Hot for Teacher?
Not her.
No.
It does not apply.
I don't care what you're into. Hot for her.
No.
Got a bad drunk teacher.
In Wagner, Oklahoma, a public school teacher was arrested Monday, August 6th. After police say she showed up at school for her first day of work under the influence of alcohol and without her pants.
Oh my God, stop it.
Do you feel a breeze?
Come on.
It's a skirt. No.
And this is a real story.
School officials say they found Lorianne Hill, 49.
Oh, boy.
In an empty classroom, disoriented and
found
without pants.
My thrill.
Without pants on Blueberry.
On Lorianne Hill.
That's a hill. That's a mountain.
You gave me a mountain this time.
The police were called, which is horse feathers. Mm-hmm. Hill was booked on public intoxication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was just recently hired. I'm assuming replaced the H with an F.
Fired.
Classes are scheduled to start Thursday, but I don't think
not
she'll
with
be
her.
There. No, I think that maybe she's not coming back.
Remember that lady that was here the other day without pants? Is she coming back?
You know, my teacher.
I liked her.
My teacher's Lori-Ann Pantless.
No, like yeah. I've done some stupid ass shit. While I've been
she
drunk,
was my favorite
but
teacher.
But going to your classroom with no pants on.
I'm not gonna say I've never lost my pants drunk. I'm just gonna say. What did I just say?
Horse feathers.
Horse feathers.
Mismatched shoes.
Whatever.
Shirts inside out.
Whatevs.
Different colored
it's
socks.
Pretty bad. All right, it's
I have a drunk story that I shouldn't share.
Yes, I was at a lake.
Please do. Please
that you
on.
Shouldn't share, but you're
you
going show, to?
You showed up to the restaurant one time with no pants.
No.
Yes.
So two things happened this weekend. First,
because
I keep making fun of Slim Down for her little siesta on the in the wedding chapel.
Right.
But I did have to confess that I may have taken a brief nap, a siesta, if you will, on the toilet because it was so cool and comfortable. And we hadn't sat down for a while.
Thank you.
I'm not saying the story is true. I'm
did
just
you
saying.
Stay, in the
it's
story,
out there.
Would you have
it's
stayed on the toilet or fallen off?
Oh, no. I was balance was fine.
It
was
good.
It was cool. It was inviting. There was a watery breeze coming from below me. How could you resist?
You took a commode knap.
I did. With a gnome.
I like it. Horse feathers.
Yeah.
Oh, that is good.
And then I may or may not have relieved myself, pardon the expression, and then walked to wash my hands, and when looking in the mirror, realized that I had not put anything back in the cage or close to cage.
Cage open.
And creature still out.
Bird cage.
I'm going to let that go.
But thank you for confessing that unnecessarily to us. I appreciate that.
Well, I owed it to Slim Down. Slim Down was a little mad that I was telling Holler stories about laying down and farting, but I wasn't confessing to my own crimes.
You know, Slim Down does seem like fun. I stalked her Facebook page to the extent of my ability, not being her friend, and she seems real fun.
Oh, she's a good time.
Yeah, she really, Slim Down, you're
she's
fun.
A good, and she's a full-on diabetic that's always trying to control her sugar. So if you don't eat every couple hours and she dozes off, you got to wake her up and find out sure if she's alive.
Marge, don't let her fly anywhere.
Don't take her on any long trips.
So all of a sudden, because she has said, she's like, I can't believe I'm hungry. She's like, but we are on, because she's very good at home. But when she was on vacation, you add a lot of sugars, you add a lot
of
stuff to
sure.
it.
You do a lot of shit. You don't
you do a lot
like,
of shit right. and do
like
normal
drink
life.
Wine and toot in the public.
So I'm not sure that tooting in public was new, but she was pretty confident.
She owned that toot.
So they lied to me and said they had to pee, but they really wanted to go to the outlet mall. So I sat in Starbucks and read while they shopped.
Why would they lie about that?
Because they knew I didn't want to go. It's like, oh, we have to pee. And oh my God, look, the outlet malls are there. Let's go there. And I'm like, if there's a Starbucks, I need a coffee. So Slim Down mentioned that as we were leaving, she's like, it's kind of scary. She's like, but we're eating on such regular schedules that in 2 hours I'm going to be hungry again. So I was kind of watching the clock, and in 2 hours she dozed off in the back seat. I'm like, hey!
Lady,
do you need nuts? I got all kinds of because I brought all kinds of sugar and stuff with me in case she, like her sugar got low. But it was just funny. She's like, "Let me sleep. My sugar's fine."
Oh
yes, Tomo. Siesta is Arizona English for pass out.
It's also Spanish.
Or maybe just close your eyes and dream of sheep,
and also pass out.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know,
horse feathers.
What are y'all doing?
Cheers.
About 10 a.m. to noon on a typical Tuesday? You know, just that day. It's the day of the show. I realize
prepping
that.
For the show.
Getting pissed on.
Wait a minute. Catch.
Did it
no.
drill?
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see it. Oh, I see it. I see the drippy.
Oh, Molly, you in danger, girl.
It's just
I'm gonna
water.
Catch it. You'll I'm going to catch it.
I wonder if it's still raining outside,
well,
y'all.
Well, if there's only a way
to look.
Like, go outside. Fuck you.
Or Google it.
So at 10 a.m. to noon on Tuesdays, normal people are like working, they're running errands, or they're taking care of kids. You would have,
that's
you have
true.
A child.
I am.
Well,
with her
apparently,
on Tuesdays.
After a study, that's the highest point of the week for sexting other people.
Uh-oh.
A study found that people are more likely to engage in sexting from 10 a.m. to noon on Tuesdays, and iPhone users are more prone to do it than Android phone users, according to a video that you can see online from Buzz60. The computer tracking software company Retin X Studios pulled 4,800 sexters and found that iPhone users are actually twice as likely to send explicit photos and messages than Android users. Probably because ours sin faster. The study brought to mind several recent cases involving sexting, and we're pretty sure they did not all happen on Tuesday mornings. But apparently, 10 to noon, if you want to get it on or send your sweetie a little little picture of the love muffin or whatever. There you go.
I do not want to see your love muffin.
Horse feathers. Or your
horse feathers.
That's awkward.
Please contain your love muffin.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Yep. Leave
Michael
alone.
Says it's not too bad, the rain, but judging by the way it's pouring through the crack into you, I disagree.
Is Michael in the... Where is Michael? Is he in the chat
room? I text him.
Oh, hey, is it raining? Is it raining and you're into the house?
Awesome.
That's funny shit.
So.
Yeah.
Where's the beef? Do you remember that from the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
I did have a baby onesie that said, "Where's the beef?"
That's cute.
That's kind of inappropriate. Cute.
Yeah, I mean, for you.
My parents said it was fun. They drink a lot. They drink a lot.
So yeah, they weren't doing a trust fund for you. They were buying...
Right.
Now, an Alabama man says doctors mistakenly removed his penis during what was supposed to be a routine circumcision procedure. And now he's filed suit.
Well, yeah.
Weird.
Yes.
Do you think?
Probably Johnny a pants Lee suit at this point.
pantless suit. Where are my pants? They don't fit the same. Johnny Lee Banks Jr. emerged from what should have been a standard circumcision surgery at Princeton Baptist last month with more of him missing than he had anticipated. When the plaintiff awoke from his aforesaid surgical procedure, his penis was amputated.
Shut up!
The plaintiff never gave consent for the complete or partial amputation of his penis.
Horse feathers!
Horse feathers! Horse feathers, I agree.
And starting in October, he'll be performing in Hedwig in the Angry Inch on Broadway.
Oh my God.
This is literally the worst story ever.
He's very much devastated.
Oh my God, yes!
Attorneys for Banks insist their client has suffered extended pain and suffering during his recovery.
He has no dick!
Well done! Right? He has spent additional time in the hospital recovering and has been caused to spend more money. Additionally, Banks' wife is also claiming loss of consortium.
Consortium. Oh, I love it. I love when you go all James Bond like with the name for what she does with her penis.
I would like a conjugal visit, but I cannot get any conja.
Forget the Google. Harry, on their part.
Harry and Randy. We like big butts and we can't. Like, thank you.
I like Harry. Yeah, who's Harry and Randy?
Well, welcome to the show. Only the shadow knows. I don't know.
On their part, the defendants have so far fought the charges adamantly. What, you didn't take the penis?
Yes.
Is that,
I don't know.
I saw no penis.
Was there a consent form signed?
There was
signed?
No removal no, of said
not.
Penis.
Apparently not. I said you can take my dick at any time.
He did not have a penis when he came.
The Associated Press reported.
For some reason, that was Kennedy. I don't know why.
I know, right? Banks was never told ahead of the procedure that amputation could occur.
Yeah, well,
could occur. Side effects from circumcision involve anal leakage.
No.
Amputation.
I had a breast reduction,
dick loss.
Not that anyone knows that, but I had a breast reduction.
And you lost your penis?
I feel like I knew that, but
it's a little different.
I feel like I knew that, but also, what the fuck? Your boobs are huge. And you had a breast reduction?
They were huger.
Wow.
So,
like Jupiter.
They have you sign this.
That's
like
fantastic.
Those are some
good boobs.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
A through Q or something of things that
could happen. You might come out with no boobs at all.
Or your nipples could go this way. Hey, they could mine fall do that. In the shower.
Yep.
You could have Cookie Monster eyes. For nipples.
You know, right?
Mind you that for breastfeeding.
No.
Anywho.
I gotta go.
You don't fucking horse feathers.
But I mean, for real. So you would think that they would give him a list of little things signed, like, and
there well, would you sign something that said that while we're doing your circumcision, you could just lose the whole fucking thing?
Well, no, but this could, because when the doctor came back in for me, I was like, now I'd like to talk to you about G
and as a
and
good,
O on
and as a good patient, could. Though, you should, because I remember my grandma had surgery on her knee, and they specifically wrote on the other knee, not the right knee.
Oh, do they have
like,
it now?
Right,
they
like wrote, X's, like, yeah. No, I've seen that.
No. When the surgeons came in, they'd be like, this is not the right knee. It actually says on it,
not the right knee. That's the thing now. No. Because remember,
like a hip?
Years ago, it was they amputated the wrong leg, and there was like a chain of like
somebody
people doing,
they replaced the wrong hip.
But you have to do right. You have to do three identifiers: right patient, right procedure, right something or other. Which I knew.
Right appendage.
Right. But then they mark things all over the
and
place.
And they should.
But the problem because was his dick was so small they couldn't write no on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But so she should have had lost a consortium.
I'm sorry, but like, what doctor goes in and goes circumcision or just chop the whole thing off?
Penile lobectomy.
If I was that guy, I would be.
I can't imagine. I just can't even imagine.
No one has explained why
it would be. Saw that story. That is the worst fucking thing that could ever happen to you.
I mean, for him, it might have been a small surgery.
Maybe it but was. It doesn't matter.
It was outpatient.
Horse feathers.
Shower or a grower, it doesn't matter. That's your penis.
And you got to pee somewhere.
Know, now what?
Oh, now you're going to bring this
down
for us.
Clayton, where do you pee if that you have no penis?
I was going to ask that question. Can we defer to you?
No, seriously. Where does it come out?
Well, the tube still comes from and just ends at the skin. You know what I mean? Like,
so you just cut the tube. So you have like a vagina looking.
You just stand there and goes.
Well, yeah. You're going to have to practice your aim.
But he can't have sex forever.
He's going to be doing Kegels for a while. Well, not without a penis.
You can't. Last time I checked, you can't.
I'm sorry. I just need to like revisit this because
I'm lactating.
Horrible.
But now is it really dripping on you?
Yeah. All
right, yeah. Okay. What they have not explained is why.
I'm melting.
Why at
horse feathers.
His age, he was getting
a circumcision. How old was he?
Way too old for a circumcision.
Well, no, I mean, was he converting to Judaism?
It did not.
Like, what is the point to it? It's not.
Because if it's, just leave it alone.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Late. Oh, anti-circumcision. Don't do it.
Okay, because it's honestly something we've thought about if we have a boy. Like,
don't do it.
Leave him alone.
Would you do female?
Never.
Right. So why would you do male mutilation? Why would you mutilate a male's genitalia if you wouldn't do it to a female?
That's a good point. Are you circumcised?
Yes, but I had no say in the matter.
Are you circumcised?
Yes, but I also have no say.
And you would choose at this point.
But it's not for religious purposes. If you can't teach your own child how to wash their vagina.
Yeah, no, My name is Marge.
I'm here to wash your vagina.
I used to work closely with a guy who was not Jewish, but his parents chose to not circumcise him. And he
Jewish, I have to circumcise. That is the Jewish tradition. That's a bris.
Yes, you're
that's
right.
Tom was like, he became an idiot, not an Audi.
They have to circumcise. So he was not Jewish, so he didn't have to do it. His parents just chose to not circumcise him. So he was an uncircumcised grown male. And he used to say to me all the time, he's like, if you have a son, don't circumcise him. Not care. And he's like, you can't do it.
You're missing like 90% of the sensation of sex and orgasm. The best example, don't shave your legs for a while.
Right.
And then shave your legs and like, how does that feel? All of a sudden you can feel the wind on them. You get all that sensitivity.
The sensitivity comes back.
So that's what you're doing. You're just taking away. So now the head of the penis is always exposed. It's not sensitive anymore.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a mutilation of the male.
So you say if I have a boy, don't do it.
Absolutely not. Unless you're Jewish. If you're Jewish,
I'm not Jewish.
It's a religious practice. Americans just do it. And it's a whole conspiracy theory.
Ish.
But because of who was in charge of the AMA, it became a standard practice in America, which is why people get confused about circumcision because they think, well, I'm not Jewish and I'm circumcised. So they think Jewish people don't circumcise.
I used to think everyone circumcised. I thought it was because every boy
Americans
in high school I ever had sex with
was
circumcised.
Jewish people and then Americans.
And college.
Outside of the U.S., it's not done. It's not done because it's genital mutilation.
Wow.
So everybody gets all in arms about what they're doing to girls, but everybody's like, oh, let's circumcise our boy. No, do not do that. There's no reason.
Well, I feel
if a female has genital mutilation,
would lose everything.
They cut the clitoris right. So, but you're allowing it to be done to a boy and you're all agreeing to it. But then when you find out that they do the same thing to girls in other countries, you're like,
Africa,
oh my God, it's horrible.
Sure.
But you just signed up for it over here. All you're doing is taking away the pleasure of sex. You know what I mean?
Wow. And that's why they do it to girls in Africa, because they don't want them to have sex with their cousins or males.
No, they just don't want them to have pleasure with pleasure.
Right. They say your cousins will rape you or whatever,
they don't want the woman to enjoy sex.
Right, because it shouldn't
be enjoyable. They're not anti-rape. They're anti-women enjoying the sexual experience.
Right.
Everyone can pile on her. There's no enlightened thinking here.
I heard a story very recently about family members raping other family members, and so it was like a whole thing. But that was exactly like it is. They were like
young
girls are being like abused by or not abused. That's their words come out of in Africa, but young girls are being blah blah by their cousins or brothers, don't want them to be excited as young girls, so they.
Right, so they get raped and don't enjoy it. Like there's so barbaric that thought. It's just to take the play. It's to make women not enjoy sex.
That's horrible.
They're still going to force sex on you. They just want to make sure that you get no pleasure from it. It's horrible. So just leave the lower regions.
Well enough alone.
It's not quite as bad with guys though, right? Region. I mean, men still enjoy sex.
Right, but then if you sleep with somebody who is uncircumcised and you realize the difference in the pleasure they're having and the pleasure you're having, you're like. Hold on a minute. I did not get that out of that.
Wow.
Right. It's a whole different experience.
Wait a minute.
You've desensitized the sexual organ.
Wow. You guys.
Do not.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of that, I'd like to know if...
Circumcision started as a puritanical move pioneered by Dr. Kellogg to prevent masturbation and sex for pleasure.
No, you're kidding.
The only reason to do it is... Unless you're Jewish, and then it's about cleanliness, which most Jewish laws are about. Cleanliness.
And then we're eating the whole thing, right?
And speaking of that, I'd like to say, if he's out there listening, Luis from São Paulo, Brazil, if you are out there listening, please message us and let us know you're out there.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think.
Okay,
so just to prevent masturbation and sex for pleasure. Masturbation for it makes me. It's like the thing we looked at the other week, the masturbatory cross.
Right.
Right.
To keep you in bed without
self raping.
But you will find, like the Marquis de Sade will find a way to write. You will find a way to masturbate. Trust me. You will invent a way.
Wow. That's interesting conversation. Okay. Yeah.
So don't do it. I'll come to your house. And
okay.
Stop it.
Good. Well, I won't do it.
Moving on.
Frosted Flakes Rock.
I didn't know we were going to be Dr. Ruth Westheimer with this. Well, a catering company called the Dirty Bird Fried Chicken aroused some controversy with its suggestive logo. Some people, and by the way, I have the logo for our viewers, and I have a handout here in studio for us. Some people who see the logo think it resembles a rooster. Others, they think it resembles a penis at the point of no return.
Well, a rooster and a cock are the same thing.
Well, stand by. Mark James, the logo's designer, it's supposed to be a barnyard bird. We were given the name Dirty Bird as the brief, and then the form, we started working on ideas. We looked at the initials D&B, and then they worked with the lowercase D&B, linking the two of them, and to form the shape of a rooster. Now, here, I brought some handouts. I brought three handouts.
Oh God.
I need some visuals.
I can tell just from seeing it from the back.
I'm sorry.
Right. So
that is not a rooster.
Let me show our viewers. Viewers, here's their logo. By the way, there it is right there.
That was intentional. Hashtag on purpose.
It is a graphic representation of a rooster incorporating the initials, but it depends on how you look at it.
Oh,
it
does dirty
say
bird.
Dirty bird.
Right, DB, it says dirty bird. Now,
this whole thing was thought up before they went out.
Now, a few comments. The beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, as they say. Now, the company owner, Neil Young.
Like looking at cock.
His name is Neil Young, insists that he never intended for the logo for his Cardiff Wales food truck to appear phallic. He says, quote, "We never really thought about it like that. Our designer created a D and a B for the dirty bird and then pushed them together and made a cockerel." He told Wales Online. Just to be clear, the dictionary.com defines cockerel as a young domestic cock, usually less than a year old. And the word cock is the definition meaning for a rooster. Now, they also have Young and James. They may be crying foul about the reaction to their allegedly unintended innuendo. But it should be noted that the food truck also, and you'll get this, the food truck also has posters on it saying things like "touch my thigh" and "touch my breast." And they also have these are also part of what they have in their advertising.
Come on now.
So I'm gonna guess.
I don't think it's.
Oh, no, they're seeing it. No, they're seeing it. I'm showing that whole thing on the thing. They're seeing it.
Okay. Come on. You know how when you take your hand and you use a crayon and you do your hand and then you turn it into a turkey?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, what they did here was they took a cock mid-ejaculation with some hair on the balls and tried to turn it into a chicken. Still see the hand. Don't see your turkey.
I wish they were local.
I don't think there's. I mean, I would go eat there.
Yeah, of course I would.
I would support them wholeheartedly.
You're in, but I don't know about the rest of us.
Buy local.
Eat cock. Well, I love that. There's a restaurant here in Tal called Gallo Blanco.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't matter, like if you've ever been in a dirty situation where someone doesn't speak English, but they speak Spanish. I don't know. That was a long way to say they speak Spanish. But, like, Gallo is just cock.
Gallo is.
Yeah, because it means
white,
rooster.
White cock.
But they've done the same thing.
Perfect.
They've done the same thing with the word cock as we did.
Yeah.
So you're going to this restaurant called White Cock, and I'm like, seriously?
I wouldn't go there.
Think that through.
We'd like to welcome Malaysia to the listenership.
Hello,
thank you, Malaysia.
Hello.
Ms. Ryer, if you would, please.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I got it. Looking at something
at White Cox.
So I've had
no,
better.
No, I'm seriously.
Wait. Jeffrey, you're looking at the wrong cock because I think this. No, you're right. They're both small cocks.
They are tiny cocks.
I was looking at with wine goggles.
Cock to ball proximity. That's a tiny cock.
Oh,
it looked bigger in at first.
Of course it did.
So, oh, well,
the first time he stuck it in, I thought it was huge. The second time, I asked if he'd left the room.
Are you there?
Have you left?
Is it in yet?
Is it in? I don't know. All right. So there was a school blogger who was fired after his boss confused homophones with gay language.
Okay.
Tim Torkelson is from Minnesota.
Okay.
But was in Utah. I mean, for real. And had to be gay as Christmas.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
I mean, for real.
Oh, gay.
Charles Nelson rallied the block.
Serious. Totally. Just Christmas. Horse feathers.
I bet you he said horse feathers before.
Horse feathers. And he meant it in a different way.
Sure he did.
It was another meaning. A social media specialist for this Utah language school that teaches English to non-native speakers says he was fired for writing a blog post about homophones. And those are words that sound the same but carry different meanings.
Like
to those
lead
who don't
and lead.
Exactly. Very
Thank
well.
You.
And how would you spell those two things?
LEAD and LED.
Exactly.
I have lead in my pants because you're pretty, and I led you to the bedroom to fuck you. How's that?
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, good.
Dirty bird.
Dirty
bastard.
Bird. Dirty bird. Anyway, his boss was afraid. He was fired because his boss was afraid that readers would think about gay sex while reading his blog.
Why would you?
Tim Torkelson, this Clark Woodger, fired him, complaining, now our school's going to be associated with homosexuality. This Woodger had to look up the word, according to Torkelson, because he admits, I didn't know what the hell you were talking about. We don't teach kids this kind of stuff. To our advanced stuff to our students, because it's extremely inappropriate. It seems too ridiculous to believe, but Torkelson's former employer confirmed the incident of homophonia that it actually happened. People at this level of English, he said, may see the homo side, or homo, as it were,
which just means same. It just means same. People, yes. Calm down,
and think it has something to do with gay sex. Torkelson disagrees. He wrote that homophones are one of the first subjects tackled when teaching English as a second language and said that his piece about them was very straightforward.
Right.
I do appreciate
peace
that.
Peace or peace?
Peace. Good call. Well
Thank
done.
You. Thank you.
Horse feathers, I like
Horse that. Feathers.
Anyway, Torkelson is a 60-year-old man who loves to teach. He's looking for a job, so if anyone can find him one, I think it'd be fabulous, as long as it's not in Utah with that fucking moron, Woodger, who had to look up homophone.
Right.
Homophone. But I thought that was fantastic.
And because that's my favorite joke from, oh my God, now I can't think. Steven Stills, I think was his name, the really dry.
Steven Wright,
the really dry
Correct.
Comedian.
He is very calm.
Very
like
calm.
This all the time.
My 5-year-old nephew said he wanted to make a wish for his birthday, so I picked him up by his arm and his foot, and I spun him around, and he went, wish, wish, wish. So now he knows the danger of homonyms.
Why are there so many handicapped?
So sad.
Why aren't there enough handicapped parking spots at the Special Olympics?
Yeah.
That always fucking cracked me.
He said, I walked up to my house and I put my car key in the door and it started up, so I drove it around. Handled pretty well.
I bought a thing of.
Anyway,
I bought a thing of condensed water. I can't figure out what to add.
Oh, that's good stuff. I like it.
Oh,
that's great. Anyway.
Oh, for the love of God. For some reason, everybody's getting a terrible echo. I'm not sure why. The audio stream had disconnected. We reconnected. We're back up. I don't know what you're hearing. Reboot. I don't know. Figure it out. final story. The sound. Oh, Harrison. Now Harrison's texting me. She's aborted the chat room. Now she's texting me.
She said she was going to text.
Texting me directly. Got it. 21-year-old woman is charged with failing to return her ankle monitoring bracelet to her probation officer. A probation agent reported the thefts to the police on July 17th, according to the arrest report. The agent said that Brittany Bramstead had been issued an ankle monitoring bracelet back on May of 2014, but had failed to return it. The agent said that she'd left a voicemail, many voicemail messages actually, she had left voicemail messages for Bramstead on June 16th, 17th, 23rd, 24th, 27th.
Uh-oh.
The ankle monitoring bracelet and the charger, valued at about $2,000, a Fort Walton Beach, Florida police officer was able to contact Bramstead by telephone. According to the report, Bramstead said that she still had the monitor, but she was planning on returning it. She said she would return it to the police department on July 17th of this year. The report said, however, she didn't show up. She was arrested on the 31st. She was charged with grand theft, and her next scheduled court appearance is September 2nd.
Come on.
It's $2,000. It's the value, so that makes it grand theft.
That's fantastic.
My, oh my.
Grand theft auto.
Grand theft
grand
ankle
theft
bracelet.
Ankle bracelet, you fucking people. Yes.
Nothing.
Oh, that it? Got it. All right. Well, that's 8:34. It is into headlines, and we're going to go into Mr. Perkins with entertainment because we can.
Entertainment!
It's just death, 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 and more death.
And none of them were in our fucking death pool.
No.
And good calls. If you had them at home. Really, it's a really bad summer for entertainment. The movies all suck. The TV shows are all just laying there. Some view changes, a couple deaths, a movie review. It's Shark Week, which is pretty much the highlight of my TV.
Yes,
and,
I know.
And we're probably just going to stick to the deaths. So, the View is making some changes.
Really?
Sherry Shepherd had her last show, which was taped quite a while ago. Very moving, very, very nice. It was a nice way to cry about the fact that you and your representative couldn't agree
to a contract deal. Right, right.
Jenny McCarthy got a Thursday send-off. She had two more tape shows, but it was her last live show.
Okay.
She was the moderator. Whoopi was not on. And interestingly enough,
if you want.
In all of her thank yous, didn't thank Whoopi. Didn't mention Whoopi as one of the people she was grateful to have spent time with. Jenny McCarthy.
Were they feuding? Do we know that?
I just don't think that anyone cared for. I think Sherry liked Jenny, and then the rest were like they tried a different way. We talked about this all last year. Non-political years are very
because Jenny
not
was
sexy.
Like so fun and crazy,
and it made me want to stab her.
And
in
it
the
was
throat.
Horrible. Everyone hated it, including you
all it was
and
was
all
Miley
viewers.
Miley Cyrus, and like show us your pictures of what you did on your summer vacation. No, show that to your grandmother. I'm not interested in what you did.
I want to hear current events and news,
and the women talking about important issues, or at least an issue that's not whatever that cunt's name is. But anyways, not Jenny McCarthy, but the one that they always talk about. So anyways, Rosie O'Donnell's back, and Rosie and Whoopi, I guess, have been taping since they stopped being since they stopped doing live shows.
Okay.
I guess Rosie and Whoopi have been doing test shows with the candidates for who's going to fill the chairs.
Okay.
And so there's been some interesting stuff, and they said that Rosie's been being very well behaved. But the girl, and now I can't think of her name. She's a woman, I'm sorry. She's on Crossfire now on the and oh my god, and I'm drawing a complete blank, but she's on Crossfire with and she's
you got
on
it?
She's on Essie Cup. Is it
that
Essie Cup?
That doesn't do anything for me.
99% sure it's Essie Cup.
Is that the blonde?
No. She's on the Rush Limbaugh side. She's the
right,
she's
Sarah
the conservative.
Elizabeth? Sarah Elizabeth, Essie Cup.
Essie Cup, right. It's Essie Cup. So Essie Cup was on there, and I guess they got into a thing, and Rosie O'Donnell was like, I'm not dealing with another fucking Elizabeth Hasselbeck. And that was her only
and
comment.
And that's her, Essie Cup is her
Essie
name.
Cup.
Yeah.
So that one kind of crashed and died. And the Sunny, whatever her name is, the one that's from the Bronx, and she is on, she's a lawyer consultant on CNN all the time.
Okay.
I guess she was kind of eliminated early in the running.
Okay.
But so it's interesting how they're going to do it, and they are definitely going to have another conservative, and then they're probably going to have, they're going to be serious, and hopefully they're going to both be professional women is the goal, because they have comedian, they have actress.
And Essie Cup looks just like Meredith Vieira. Side note.
Kind of.
They're
about 40 years apart.
But yes, but that picture.
Yeah, similar. Very similar look. Very similar look. Oh, and she is Cunty McCunstein, if you ever heard her talk.
Oh, yeah, she sure is. But I mean, didn't realize that was her name.
She's not evil like Ann Coulter. She's just annoying.
I was going to suggest that Ann Coulter, now I get that that article was a first, but I feel like Ann Coulter has gotten to the point almost of Glenn Beck where she's just like, nobody listens.
Right, and even Glenn Beck, I don't know if you've, lately Glenn Beck's been in the papers because he's trying to sell his talk show, his podcast like we're doing. He's been trying to sell it, like he makes money off his, and he's been trying to sell it to cable companies.
Right.
So he's been trying to make himself a little bit more palatable because he wants large cable companies to buy him.
He has said a few relatively normal things lately.
So he's backtracked a couple things and said that his inflammatory remarks, like calling Obama a racist, probably has set off some conversations that didn't need to be had. That he was looking for ratings, and now that he's trying to get money.
Now that he has no ratings.
And well, now that he's trying to find somewhere to get ratings from.
Yeah, because people fucking hate him. He's crazy.
Well, no, he has a large following, but it's.
But lunatics.
But
the lunatic fringe.
Right, but he's on something like this.
Right.
He wants to go to.
Mainstream
and be on your Cox cable, be on your Time Warner, and no one will pick him up because they're like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
So he's got to back it up a bit and all of a sudden be his CEO. And his main star.
Oh, he's so horrible.
He's going to come off as completely bipolar for a while. It's going to be fun to watch.
It's very bizarre.
A couple weeks ago, Buddy and I were lamenting the terrible movies that were out this summer and that there's only been a couple good ones.
What the fuck is that?
And then a demon walked in.
Oh my God. Is the world ending?
What the hell is that sound?
That was crazy. That came through my headphones.
It's literally mine too. This is, oh my God, the world is ending.
It must be something on my
That was nuts. So anyways, one of the movies, and it was out briefly in movie theaters, but it's on video on demand, as it has been since the very beginning, because they really just want you to see the movie. It's called Snowpiercer. Jesus, I keep saying that. It's called Snowpiercer.
I have that one written down, right?
Oh my God, I got to see it the next day after we did the show.
Right.
Amazing. On video on demand, it takes this whole dystopian theme that everything usually has a teenage girl trying to survive in a bloodless world where people die. This was really interesting, really well done. Mm-hmm. International cast, very, very good. So if you get a chance, see Trainspotting. Okay. We're in year 20, how's my math? 7 of Shark Week. I've been watching pretty steadily for like 23 years. I've known about it for about 24. Okay, they out of the water. Now I was going to take a picture and put it on my Facebook page of the completely unacceptable TV they wanted me to watch Shark Week on in the hotel room.
Not okay.
That was not going to have the joy.
That's Shark Week joy.
Right. I might as well listen to it on a transistor radio. What is the point to this 20-inch TV?
Or on the one that Clayton grew up in.
Right. Exactly. The hand radio. Right.
Yeah.
Remember they started
Horse feathers.
Many of you may remember the Horse Feathers movie that they started last week, where it was a fictionalized story of a mega shark that may or may not have existed. Mm-hmm. And it was a dramatization, and it was absolutely terrible.
And it sounds horrible.
It was. This year they started with Search for Colossus. And I'm like, oh God, it's another one of these movies. So I begrudgingly watched it yesterday. Turns out there's this big mammoth shark that they saw in South Africa last year, and they went all around looking for it. They couldn't find it in South Africa, but before they gave up, they found this absolute fucking moron. Appreciate that word, because I really want to whip out the R word for this guy.
I do appreciate it very
much. He does something with marine biology and fishing. He's very familiar with the waters. He wanted to be on Shark Week, and he thought he had the way when he heard about all the ways they get sharks to come up and surface. He thought the best way to get this male giant shark to surface.
Behemoth.
Yes, was to do a cutout on the surface. Cardboard cutout. This cutout was literally thinner than this glass of a female shark that he was manipulating. Laying on it, manipulating it so it was like wiggling its ass. It was doing the Miley Cyrus.
Like, come and do me.
So that the males would come up in all their aggression and try to fuck it.
Oh,
and from underneath it looked kind of like, to how a shark perceives it, it looked fairly accurate of like genitalia and stuff. So they're so desperate because Shark Week is just, it's insanity. It's lost its mind. This motherfucker, and it's available. Catch this.
This is crazy.
I'm Googling it right now, and I will watch it when I get home.
Fins, what are they always called? Fins of something or other. But this one is the Search for Air Jaws
Oh my god, the whole thing is horrible.
They get him out there. So then they're like, we're not sure about this. Well, first they say, we don't think that a cardboard cutout's going to float in the ocean. So they take him like to the beach and they put him on it.
It looks like he's dying.
And they're like, okay, it floats. They're like, will it float on you? Will it float with you on it? So they're like, okay. So then they're all standing there on the boat. Off the in Shark Alley off of Cape Town in South Africa, and they put it in the water, and two big male sharks come up to it.
And he's not wearing a cage.
He's not on it yet.
Or
because, no, okay. Because they're like, well,
calm
maybe,
down.
Maybe we should put it in the water and see if it does anything before we have you shake its ass.
No.
So they come up, but they're not very interested. They just circle. Now these, it's not Colossus, but it's a big giant fucking shark. Two of them circle it. So they're like, well, maybe it'll work better if I get on it. So in waters that already have sharks in it, in large ones, not Colossus, but 14-foot male aggressive white sharks are sniffing around, but they're not all there. He gets on the cardboard cutout, lays in the water, and they drag him behind the boat.
Is he wearing a shark-proof suit?
He's nothing. No.
Is that a thing?
Nothing. So he starts shaking its ass. Another male comes up, and they're like, well, it's not too close. Doesn't seem too interested. But they're, like, nudging at the tail that's shaking. What comes up? A big, giant
shark
female. Boner. No, a big, giant female.
Oh, a bull dyke shark?
Bull dyke shark's like, get out of my neighborhood.
This is my hood, bitch.
She starts getting aggressive, like,
the Queen Latifah.
Take your milkshake somewhere else. So she starts getting aggressive.
Not in my yard.
And now they've got to get the guy on the cardboard cutout with no protection. He's got this stick thing that's on a quick release. And he's like, well, I don't have time to fire it if it starts to attack me, but I could poke it with it. And they have to drag him in across the shark, have him knock it, and he gets on the boat. And they're all like, that may be the stupidest thing anyone has ever done.
No kidding.
But it was all captured in beautiful high def with cameras everywhere around the boat. I'm like, you almost got him caught.
Completely killed. Killed.
So that was episode number one. And it was just nail biting. All the shit they were doing to find this fucking shark. So then the next one, I think, oh my god, this one's going to be, and it's the submarine shark. And I thought, oh, this is going to be another one of those damn
Air Jaws, Fin of Fury.
Fin of Fury. Is that the submarine one, or is that the
Search for Colossus?
Search for Colossus. So now it's Air Jaws, something about the submarine shark. And I'm like, okay, now this one's going to be one of the stupid ass fucking dramatic recreations movies. No,
sharks,
this one
look horrible. By the way, I'm watching them eat shit right now.
Oh yeah, but they're gorgeous, and don't kill them. So then they have this one, and it's actually from this year, and it's a whale-watching boat off of South Africa that they went too close to Seal Island, hit a rock, and it sank. The camera was all – the boat is all set up in case you didn't have time to catch a fabulous picture of your whale-watching experience. The boat was rigged with cameras. It sinks.
Come on, this
they
is
hit
fake.
Rocks.
This is fake, please, God.
No, these people are dead.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Hits rocks, goes in the water. People are, because everyone films everything now, people are filming what's going on, and then the rescue boat comes. So they're interested because they're not in danger, so they're filming the rescue. They film two live shark attacks, and I turned it off because I had to go to this meeting today. So far, there's two people dead in this thing, and both of them get eaten on camera. And I'm like, this is the best Shark Week ever!
I've got to watch
people
this.
People actually went into the water at Shark. Three people so far. One of them lived, two dead.
But I'm looking at this dickbag
Search
of Colossus.
Like Shark Witch instead of Blair Witch. This isn't like a made-up thing.
What's that?
This isn't like Blair Witch.
Remember No. This is
like real shit. I'm literally watching this guy right now talking about sharks.
It was a whale watching ship.
Oh my god, the joyride
that
sank,
and people and they had an air rescue, and the helicopter that comes to rescue them is taking video too. No, this is not Blair Witch.
Okay,
this made the news. These people are dead.
Shark of Darkness,
okay.
Wrath of Submarine is a fake documentary. Wait,
no, it's not.
That's why I'm like, this sounds like a Blair Witch kind of thing.
If you just trump Perkins with this shit, I'm on it.
It is not a fake documentary.
Shark Week has said it again with their Shark of Darkness nonsense. The show goes after everyone for the whale watching industry. Wait, hang on. But then I see another one, Shark Week, the joyride sinking.
Oh. Now, I haven't watched the end of it. I turned it off in the middle.
It sounded like a Blair Witch kind of thing, because I just watched this whole weird thing on Blair Witch.
Hold, please.
About how, like, remarkably they made it.
Wait a minute. This is on a website, though, called southernfriedscience.com, so it could be a weird conservative thing.
We're conservative.
Was it called Brothers. Shark of Darkness? I don't know. It's not, this shit's not loading. It's literally just stalled out. So
okay, somebody's got to Google this for us because it was. I mean, I don't know because I just started watching it because I kept expecting them to do their fake movie.
Yes, because Shark Week.
Like I said, I turned it off after 20 minutes or 25 minutes when the second person died. But and they were interviewing everyone. But I just can't believe that they got. Well, I don't know that they have a lot of money now. Shark Week makes a lot of cash.
No, the. Do you know that video, the movie that was like where they were lost at sea, Open Water?
Right.
Anyway, that ruined
my
life.
But that was clearly a movie.
But it destroyed my life. Like, it destroyed everything for me.
Why, because you're the asshole that would go scuba diving and not tell somebody where you were?
No, because I don't want to get in the ocean anymore because someone will forget me somewhere and I will die.
Now, you know, I went to Hawaii both times by myself and both times I scuba dove. So I made sure when I, because I told them I'm alone. And the one
guy. Wait, is this it?
Fake submarine? Is it no?
This is video that they're now. This is the footage from the website. And it
Shark
looks
of Darkness out
real
there.
Real scary and horrible.
I just want to find out Joyride South Africa if there's a news story about this really sinking. But anyways,
because wouldn't you think that everybody in the world would have heard about this and we haven't heard about it?
Yeah,
but you don't know because there's always reports of in South Africa of.
We wouldn't have
shark
necessarily heard about this. We hear about shark attacks in Florida and California and the Gulf.
Oh.
So
it looks fucking news real.
News for Shark Week, Joyride South Africa, I put in, and it says Shark of Darkness, Wrath of Submarine.
Shark of Darkness.
Is a fake documentary.
Okay, because this video looks horrifying.
Yeah, but we're still on your Southern Fried Science.
No, you're right. That's why I'm.
Okay, so we'll find out next week. And like I said, I haven't watched the end of it yet to find out if they give it away. But there was one part where they went to that I'm like, all right, how are you getting aerial shots? So that was my first. That's when I. And then when they said, then they got it from the cell phone in the water, and it's like, oh, there's a helicopter right there, and you could see the guy taking a picture. And they do film
everything,
rescues,
everything.
But they do film if a rescue team comes out. They do film the rescue.
Well, let me tell you what.
So we'll have to find out.
Fake or not, this video is terrifying.
Oh, it is. So,
like, I'm watching this boat go down. People are jumping ship. I want to run out of this house immediately. Like,
on this
thing is
have,
so terrifying.
Tidefans.com.
I would just die. No, thank you.
And it's.
Oh, I like Tide. I use the little gel pad.
We'll have to find out. But it's your hashtags for Shark Week are either hashtag Shark Week or hashtag So Sharky, which
oh my
I think
God,
is so funny.
Crying. She's but, screaming. I think she's about to get eaten.
But Sharks After Dark, the talk show that they do, like The Talking Dead, is really funny. And Bob the Shark is this guy that's. He's in Hermosa Beach.
Bob the Shark.
He's dressed up in a shark costume, and it's very funny.
Oh, my God. But I also am watching Risky Ride on the Ultimate Shark Bait. And that's for sure real. And this guy is on his fake shark, and there are big honking sharks right underneath him.
Oh, yeah. They go in this wasp thing. Oh, it's craziness. Craziness. So, anyways, before we get wasting more time on Shark Week, because I know I'm the only person that cares.
No, lots of people
care now. Holy shit!
So
and
good.
I care about
multiple
you.
Sharks. Going to eat this bitch on a cardboard. Shark.
Going to eat this bitch
on a cardboard shark.
So we'll go Give to now. Rinse. There's been two, just really giant deaths in the last two days in Hollywood, and really just
horrible.
Giant careers lost. I mean, one full life, you know, wonderful.
Well, she was 89.
89 years old, full life. Lots of accomplishments. The other one, full life, lots of accomplishments, but still too young and still too much left to do. And 12 years younger than my cutoff for when you're allowed to go. Robin Williams, who's been having all kinds of trouble in that terrible show he was in last year that needed to be canceled, was canceled. So how much that contributed to it.
You got to wonder, right?
You got to wonder. He's been but he was back in rehab again. For the third time.
Again, like multiple.
Well,
I was looking at something.
He had gone to Hazleton and people thought a lot of it was for just alcohol.
Well,
alcohol.
And
he
I
had,
something
he had
that
apparently
was in.
Drank like a Jack Daniels. He saw a little thing of Jack Daniels. And it was, he said it kind of spoke to him. And so he drank
but
it.
But that was in like 2002 and then 2006.
2013, I think is what it said.
Oh,
but,
I know that, right. Because he was sober from 85 or 86 until, well, he was.
From cocaine.
He went to rehab
time,
in the early 80s. He went again. And then he was sober for 20 years from like 06 to 2016. Okay,
2006. That was the one article that I just happened to find last night.
And he's battled back and forth, but the underlying everything is depression.
Was depression.
And so when he went to Ableton, apparently it was kind of like more of a rock bottom, okay. And that he was working on his sobriety, because they're saying that it's easier to say you're working on that than depression,
right?
Which is fucking ridiculous.
And then you just, and then as I was reading tweets and last night, like, seeing there's so much shit going on in the world, and so much of it is important that they really couldn't break away too much for him. And so it wasn't until today that I really saw a halfway
this
decent,
morning they did a lot.
Yeah, a lot earlier.
I saw
today,
a tribute,
right.
But last night there's just too much going wrong to
sure.
to get off on that. But it was just the amount of people he's worked with, the amount of work, and I mean, quite a few crappy movies, but really a lot of really, really good movies.
I didn't notice until people started posting on Facebook, like, oh, my favorite movie is... Like, I couldn't... Sure. I didn't remember Toys, for example, which was such an
which
awesome,
I really
awesome...
did not like that movie at all.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
That's on the crap list.
Oh, no, I really liked it.
But you were young when that came out.
I was.
Yeah, well, somebody last God, night, we got on the topic, obviously, of him, and he was scrolling through something like, He did a Popeye movie? I'm like, oh my God, that's so
awful.
Long ago.
I had forgotten about Aladdin,
with Shelley Duvall, who was perfectly as olive oil.
Perfect as olive oil, yeah.
And he was a perfect Popeye, but it was a horrible movie.
Kelly,
and
so
and Patch Adams, see, now, like, his list
that,
of stinkers.
And I know that you hate, that's what I was saying to her, I know you hate Hook, ugh. But...
They should all have died
but
for that.
But I think that for that Christ. Goes back to that whole what, you know, just what you like for a total mindless.
It is.
You know, I enjoyed that fucking movie.
And there are so many people on Facebook who are putting, I loved Hook. I loved Patch Adams. I loved Jack. I loved, like, all these different
Goodwill.
Films.
Oh, I hate
I loved
Jack.
Toys.
But I get it.
I know.
But,
and everyone kept listing the crap movies. I'm like, oh my God, he has so many
things.
Good movies.
Do you know what's so, but someone said, and Dead Poets Society is my favorite movie. Not my favorite Robin Williams movie, my favorite movie, like, of all time. And actually, Robert Sean Adams is, like, my favorite. Sean Robert Adams? No.
Sean Patrick Leonard.
Patrick Leonard.
No, I'm mixing up Madonna's co-writer with an actor.
Leonard. No.
Talking about the guy that
kills
himself?
I was literally crushing on him. No, because that's Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
He kills himself.
No,
he does not.
No, Ethan Hawke doesn't.
Sean Patrick Leonard does.
Oh, kills himself. Mm-hmm. Shit, it's been a long time. Yeah. I was watching him in something else the other day, and I was like having an old... Oh, in Swing Kids. I watched Swing Kids the other day.
Totally related.
He was in it. It was cute.
An homage to...
Right, yeah. Right.
That's one of my favorite movies.
And lately I've
had this for a while. I love this.
And lately I've been thinking about Robin Williams a lot because they've had that commercial about everyone has their song to sing, what will be your verse?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Haven't seen that.
Oh, it's like every other commercial.
I zoom through commercials. I don't even pay attention.
You can't, but it's I can't remember what the commercial's from, but they do the line from What Will Be Your Verse. I think it's a Walt Whitman poem.
Walt Whitman.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, oh, Captain.
And so that's
Captain.
Been on, you know why? It's because it's always on CNN.
Oh, okay.
Because that's why all the commercials I talk about are from CNN, because I don't tape CNN.
Right.
That's what I watch live.
Well,
I'm going to tell you that normally I have that, like, I listen to what's going on, but I don't pay any attention. Otherwise, they had a, if you want to look at that, I thought that was a really cool.
Okay, now here's, this is what I'm going to bring up, too. So they're all putting in this, everybody's putting up this picture from Aladdin with Genie, You're Free.
Yeah.
And the problem with suicides, especially high profile suicides, is it has an effect of luring people to suicide.
Correct.
So what they're saying is this Genie, You're Free is really giving people the idea that if you just commit suicide,
that's your way out.
It's your way out.
Yeah.
So there's
the
a
next
thing,
one.
There's a thing from. And this was the better one, the Genie, I'm going to miss you in the Miss You Al, or Me Too Al.
Yeah.
But they have a thing that there's all kinds of now, because they've really taken over Facebook, the Suicide Prevention Campaign and the American Psychiatric.
Mm-hmm. Have, I think so. Yeah,
they have bombarded Facebook, and they're the campaign is to get rid of this Genie, You're Free thing.
Yes. And
to get that to stop, and they're all putting up ads about if you're depressed, if you need someone to talk to. And if you've checked out your Facebook page lately, it is overrun with ads that they've
bought. Mine is
and numbers, people putting that for Facebook.
And everybody's reposting
pictures,
it, but it started off, and everyone's saying, like, if you need help, if you need
and
someone
to speak
to.
And you certainly don't need to do anything with that, but I thought that was cool, too.
And I really was. Like, the thing from Obama's thing was very nice.
Those are just all the tweets that he put in, Norm Macdonald, of meeting Robin Williams, and they were saying it was his, like, one of the nicest.
Right, and all his funny lines, like when he went through his cocaine addiction, He just said that cocaine is God's answer to you have too much money. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine? I mean, Robin Williams with cocaine, like he needed cocaine.
Right. Well, actually, I read something that
and
actually,
that was just to calm him down.
Yeah, no, I read something. Yeah, that he needed cocaine to calm him down.
To just like focus his
legitimate
thoughts.
Like he was legitimately so like spasmodic.
Because Adderall is speed. They give kids with ADD speed to focus all that energy. So you could imagine cocaine having that same effect.
I actually didn't realize that until I had gone to a counselor or whatever who said, oh yeah, I took like a online paper test and it said that you have I had adult ADD, and this is like right after college, and I'm like, oh okay, well, that's stupid. And so they prescribed me Adderall, and my friends, so I had Adderall, and my friends and I were all taking it. My friends and I were all taking Adderall. And what I vividly remember, and it just really has stuck with me, is that my friends would take Adderall to feel like a little bit cracked out. And I was like, you guys, I don't feel that. When I take Adderall, I just feel like calm and normal.
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, that you really need it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this fucking sucks. And I quit taking it.
Because
I hated that like very subdued. I had like a feeling of being incredibly
relaxed.
Not even relaxed, not good. It was not a good feeling, but it was a very like,
level
feeling, which clearly as a person who has ADD, which I believe that I do have, it's not a place that I want to be functioning at that level.
Right.
My friends, it spiked them. I think it's just interesting that someone who does cocaine, I don't know. I just think it's really interesting.
It makes sense from how
it does
how
the brain works. You do cocaine, which is supposed to speed you up, but if you're so like, it can help. Calm you down.
But we'll carry this on in a minute.
We have so many more things to talk about. It is the show. It's the end of hour three. I'd like to thank everybody who, when I stepped out of the room to make a drink, I left my wallpaper up on my computer. And they're like, who's the guy on your computer, Clayton?
Oh, that's
they're paying attention to on my... It's Jason Medina. Of course it is.
Okay. Hey.
Anywho, hour three is coming up. We have Katie June coming up in just a little bit with sports and other stuff. Al's going to wrap up some more stuff in entertainment. We always have stuff to talk about because it's us. It's the show. Q-Talk America. It's Katie, Marnie, Al. I'm Clayton McKee. Thank you for joining us from wherever in the world you're listening and all the ships at sea. Join us in the chat room. Let us know where you are. We'll be back in just moments with more right here on Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It's the beginning of hour three. You've wasted 2 hours already so far on your Tuesday night. We do three solid hours each Tuesday evening when we are able to, which is most Tuesdays. We've missed a couple of weeks this summer because of vacations and people who, they have things called lives, and we let them live them because, well, nobody gets paid to do this show. It's a free service coming to you live from the heart of Phoenix, Arizona, where oddly tonight it is a lovely 75 degrees and we have rain! Horse feathers! There's flooding and rain and people don't know what the fuck to do.
We love it.
Pandemonium all over the Valley of the Sun where there's a little rain.
We've had quite a bit of rain. I mean, you guys aren't up at the same times that I'm up at night, but there has been rain in the last couple of weeks, at least in outside of the windows where I work.
No, true. There has been. But like, even for here, I haven't had this much rain at my house this season as we've had today. Because is it raining where you are? And you're two blocks away, pouring, but nothing here.
And last night I had a super soaker at my house.
Right,
too.
We had that here. Mom had some rain.
I
had several rain.
Yeah, and we didn't.
I haven't had anything. Mm-mm. And then this morning I was awakened by a phone call because my life. I never get a phone call. It's like, oh, how are you? How's the morning? No, it's always tragedy because a restaurant here in Central Phoenix, because of the rains last night, they discovered they had a roof leak they didn't know about.
Oh, no.
What does water do? Water enters somewhere.
It falls on Marnie.
Well, that's true. But what happens is water comes in and it lands on a it may start over there and it runs down a 2x4 in this roof and hits wire and runs the wire. It actually filled up the switch and the router and just soaked them all, shorted everything out. Everything was down. So my first call of duty for this morning was, oh my God, I got everybody fixed in that. But anyway, our drinking word is horse feathers.
Horse feathers.
If you have a beverage, please drink along with us. Join us in the chat room. For those of you who are just asking what website I was on, personally, Clayton was on a website. I will post a link to that in the chat room and you will know. Al, continue on,
so
please.
Just and like the movies and all that stuff, very nice. And Mork and Mindy, of course, where like most of us found him as children.
And Law and Order.
But
do you remember him on Law and Order?
No. Was he a regular?
Yes, I do.
Wait, a regular?
No. He was on one show, it was like in 99, and he just could play such a range.
Yeah.
And he just played a psycho real well.
And I really have to tell you, it's
creepy.
He made some really, really great movies. But if you haven't seen The Fisher King, and if for some godforsaken reason you haven't seen The World According to Garp, which is after Popeye was his apology to the world, and it's where we get Glenn Close and John Lithgow and him as a serious actor. The World According to Garp, so good. 1 Hour Photo is a genius movie.
I haven't seen that one.
And then the movie version of Armistead Maupin's The Night Listener. He is brilliant in that
movie. Amazing how many things he has done. And interesting, they had Glenn Close, or no.
So if you want to watch Popeye and Hook, go ahead. But he made some real art,
Who did you
too.
Say was on the other one with John Lithgow and...
Glenn Close and him, and it's...
just kidding. Because they had Meryl Streep. Has he ever done...
I don't know that they've done a movie together, but he's worked with. He did a lot of charity work, so that's what I was going to
say. They happened.
I thought you would just enjoy that list, not for on here, but
they happened to have Meryl Streep on the Today Show this morning, and they were promoting it for a couple days, so they certainly didn't have her on because of him. Sure. But I know that
Insomnia too.
I know they really addressed it with her. And I'm sorry when you said. Glenn Close.
Glenn Close, I believe in her.
Movie debut.
But in her family, I believe there's a huge history of depression and that.
Oh, I mean, whose family? I mean, it's in so many people. Like
she could be depressed if you were related to Glenn Close. I can't imagine.
So she goes out and
horse feathers.
So a couple things.
Can I just finish this up?
Of course.
So, but the thing that I really and a lot of people just don't know because for some sad reason, again, you don't have HBO, but his HBO specials from Reality What a Concept in the late 70s to the 82 or 83 one where he was clearly losing control on drugs but still had command of the audience to what I think is the and there's a one in between that I can never remember where it falls in, but Live on Broadway 2002 where he goes after George Bush and it's pre-war with Iraq and he is. And they were trying to poo-poo it today on the news. They're like, people don't think of him as a political comedian. He was very, very political and very to the point. And his Live on Broadway was a direct attack on like our response to 9/11 and our complete disregard for the rest of the world and how we acted afterwards.
Because he was really involved with the USO and the troops.
No, and that was afterwards because he was accused by Fox News of being anti-American. Yep. And he got that same backlash that the Dixie Chicks and everyone got for criticizing your government. You know, God forbid. Because you're not allowed to say anything bad about the president until he's black.
That the news was saying.
right.
Interesting that the news, though, was portraying it, or to the Today Show, and even, and Good Morning.
He always did USO tours.
They were saying he did that. Always after his Good Morning Vietnam and like his experience
that is true, but he really amped it up
after his
criticism of
George Bush's dick,
George Bush. After his criticism of George Bush, he really
Isn't
ended up.
Isn't that amazing?
But
Al?
He did do it from Good Morning Vietnam on because he met with so many
people. But what you say is so amazing is when I think about how many people today hate Barack Obama and have so many horrible, racist, awful things to say about him.
But 10 years ago, you hated America and you were Saddam Hussein's bitch. So if you get a chance, Live on Broadway is available on DVD.
Al, when are you going to run for president?
Never, because I'm on the show. But
there's a lot of other reasons.
But seriously, I know I tell you guys to watch a lot of stuff, but that concert from 2002.
His live stuff is fantastic. One of the things, I don't know if anybody heard about this today, and I'm just tying this in with the political ramifications of this, and again, douche nozzle, don't care for. At one point, I liked listening to him because he was fun to listen to, and then it completely changed. Obviously, when Clinton got into office, Rush Limbaugh actually tied Robin Williams' suicide to the general unhappiness of the left. He actually did this on his radio show today. He wasted no time on Tuesday using the death of actor Robin Williams to further his own political beliefs. During his radio show, the host used an anonymously sourced article on FoxNews.com to diagnose Williams' emotional struggles and draw larger conclusions about political leftness and depression associated with. And I'm like, what a fucking jerkwad you are.
And then he felt guilty that he was still alive while his three friends had died young, meaning Belushi and...
Right, they were saying that Christopher Reeve, Andy Kaufman, and John Belushi were all, he had survivors.
Yeah, that's a really regular group of...
He could never get over that guilt.
But he'd only...
That's a group of people.
If I'm not mistaken, he knew Kaufman only in passing. He never. He wasn't really friends with
him. He was one of the last two people to see John Belushi alive.
That's true.
And he was
best
in...
Best friends.
But he was very close to him, but his...
Christopher Reeve.
They went to Juilliard together.
They were roommates.
But what a weird... That's a bizarre comparison to draw. It's totally insane.
He's an asshole. But
no, he is. But I thought... How sad. Somebody kills themselves. They were horribly depressed. And I get that. And it's so sad because the entire world loved him. But it's insane that somebody... What a douche to use that to say that it's the left problem. Everybody who's liberal, they're all depressed. So that's the problem with all them.
I wish, and I think I said this a few weeks ago about Ann Coulter, I actually wish Rush Limbaugh would kill himself. Somehow, you have it, Rush.
Well, and they have on the bottom of the site, the person that wrote this, I don't mind saying, I hope that Limbaugh's karma is itching a lot.
And Shepard whatever his name is,
Shepherd
that douchebag Smith. Calls him a coward on the air, taking the cowardly way out.
And other people.
And then he just to play fair, I mean, went to the core of my being. I regret it. It just came out of my mouth.
He's a dick.
I'm just what's there, on here.
Anyone who thought of it, and I get it. I understand that people who are living can say that's a cowardly way out, but not if you're not a living relative of this person, if you're not the person living the hell of
depression,
having lost a family member to suicide, you don't get to say anything about it.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just awful.
Yeah, it's just
so
a sad...
shut your mouth. Yeah, like,
you just have no right.
I think in fairness, using that's a cowardly way out, it's like the what was his name? Castro, the douche that kept the girls locked up for 10 years.
Oh, yeah, Ariel Castro.
He commits suicide. He gets in prison. He's too much of a... I can't even use the word. I don't even want to... He's so...
Awful
and such a piece of shit. He can't even stand up for that, so he commits suicide.
Right.
That's the correct use
that's
of that.
A very good
that was
use
the coward.
The, yes,
you
thank
can't
you.
Man up to what you did, and now you're going to be in prison.
And you're a coward.
Probably that's get different. Killed in prison because of what
but
you
like,
did.
But there are so
and
many
you don't
people who
have
are
to endure the pain.
Don't endure the pain. You put these girls through for 10 years.
Right. There are so many people who are talking about Robin Williams who, and it just is so infuriating for anyone to call him a coward. Like, he was suffering, or anyone, the majority of people that commit suicide are suffering from such immense, like, horrible, horrible, dark places in their lives that they're not cowards. It's a horrible place to be, and awful to victimize a person who has just
and for every Shepard Smith that's out there. That is, and Rush Limbaugh that they hear, and that's why to me it was important tonight to kind of talk about this, because you know you have different people that have been in our chat room that say they found us and that it was a big deal.
And
very good. There and I just that's all I could think when this came on was how important for us.
That's not freeing.
It's not genie or free, and there's nothing cowardly. It's a matter
it's
of
horrible.
Just anyone so to be able
awful.
To reach out, and if that's us, one would just not think so. But thank God, if that's us, please do in any way, shape, or form that you would need to reach out.
Anyone that is suffering from depression or that's suffering
please.
From any form of substance abuse because of depression, or even substance abuse because of substance abuse, like what
you're
a
right, Mark.
It is a what a this horrible thing, and it's just really, really sad and. Sad and lonely and horrible.
And just keep your eye on your friend right now. Keep a close eye on friends or you people bet. You know that are suffering from depression, because there is a lure. It's one of the, it is something that spreads. Mm. Like they're very careful with it in high schools. They're very careful with it on
they were
in college
talking
campuses.
About it.
When one starts, it starts to...
And they were talking about it on the news today, that they were kind of thinking, not in any bad way, and just saying that if anything, hopefully Robin Williams' suicide will...
Open up conversations
about
because
mental illness.
Every disease
and
needs a celebrity spokesperson.
It does. And they were saying though, but also scary that one sparks a movement sometimes. And so, for any young person or anyone at all who's considering suicide, to look at him and to in whatever way kind of idolize or want to emulate him, that's very scary. But they said 50% plus, like the phone calls to the National Suicide Hotline spiked today by like 50% plus.
And I'm going to say that
it's definitely contagious.
Awful that anyone is going through that kind of low, that kind of hurt. It's not about being condescending. My heart truly goes out to them.
Yeah.
And if I could, I would hold each one of them.
And
whatever they would need. But the fact that it has gone up 50% is
at least they're reaching out for help.
At the same time.
Mm. That they're reaching out for help. That's
what they're saying. I mean, truly. Like,
and they were saying that, like,
it's
a double-edged sword. Like, his celebrity could cause people to say, well, I'll do this too. But his celebrity could also cause people to really look at
just
the
reach out
situation.
And know that there are, you know,
and that's
so
the difference between, like, humans and the people on Fox News.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Humans look for
the
compassion. But, like,
Rush
Limbaugh and
he's such a horrible man.
Shepard Smith are
literally
like, calling people names. You
I
know
hope
what I mean?
Rush Limbaugh overdoses on the next drug
that's
he
when you find out about.
Mark in our chat room says, Shepard Smith is a closeted homosexual making $8 million a year working for Fox. Who's the
real
coward?
Oh, right.
I don't think it's really... It's closeted only in public. I think he's pretty out.
Well,
and
no,
just sits there and he's gay. As
but
Christmas.
Anderson Cooper
Christ.
Was another one that,
yeah.
When you got the reaction from the rest of America that he was gay, I remember like that day I was in Western New York. I was going to say upstate New York. Like I live in upstate New York. I was in Western New York with my family, and everybody was like, "Oh, I'm like really?
Really?
You don't know?
Can
so
you not see?
So you can imagine what they would say about
you're right,
Chloe.
You're right
about." Shep, what the fuck his name
Shep
is?
Shep Smith.
Another human I don't care about today. But Bruce anyways, Schazel. So very sad. But Juilliard trained, I mean, his friendship with and everything he did for, if you ever get a chance to read about all the things he did for Christopher Reeve.
Oh, yeah.
He went to Christopher Reeve in disguise in the hospital.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Like...
As a Russian doctor.
As a Russian doctor in disguise and did the whole thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, they were best friends from college, kind of like Michael Douglas and Danny DeVito.
Yeah, And I feel that he is the godfather of
one of
Chris
them.
And Dana Reeves' son.
Yeah, one, if not from the original marriage and kids, the second one. Yeah.
Because they're both gone, and just sad.
Yeah, well,
you know,
and exactly.
And you thought, and my first thought was like, you know, with Whoopi, with Comic Relief and all that he did for homeless people.
And I've been waiting to hear anything from Whoopi
from
or
the Whoopi
from,
camp.
But she doesn't put out press releases.
No, I know that. Yeah. But or
Billy
hello,
Crystal.
Thank you, Billy Crystal.
But I just thought about that. Like if the View, because the View, their last you know new show was Monday. But thank God, because to have to go on, like she already had to do the show with Patrick Swayze dying, and that was rough.
Sure.
Like, but to you know, like I don't know how people do their jobs when someone you know is their best friend and like
they've been working together for 30 years,
And then just to keep the death thing going.
I'm sorry.
No.
But the interesting piece is that it lets you know that it doesn't matter how much fucking money you have, and it doesn't matter.
Or to be careful of those people that you think are always on, and always funny, and they're always on.
Molly wrote
something lingering.
Kelly was like, doesn't matter how much money you have, let's go show. And Molly wrote a really interesting quote this morning, and she's like, the people who are like laughing the hardest are like the saddest because they don't want you to know kind of what they're feeling.
Oh, they're hiding their pain.
And but one interesting quote that Robin Williams had, they had a whole bunch of quotes on Huffington Post, but which I just thought was poignant and appropriate for the show is, you could talk about same-sex marriage, but people who have been married say, yeah, it's the same sex all the time, which I thought was appropriate and good.
We just had another death happen.
That three.
What?
Arlene Martel from Star Trek, 78 years old, just died.
Who was she on Star Trek?
One woman. Actress, prior to 1964, she was frequently billed as Arlene Sachs or as Tasha Martel.
Was she black?
No. She was in Angels from Hell, The Glass Kid, Dracula's Dog, blah, blah, blah. But apparently she was an actress in...
Thank you.
Oh, she played Spock's Vulcan bride in. I would have known that either. I wouldn't have known that either, but she was the. Yeah.
Oh,
I had no idea. But yeah,
I would have never put that. Jeffrey,
but she looks like the black woman in Star Trek. In but the not chat room,
she's not a Uhura.
Nope. Okay.
No, Jeffrey, just come. Thank you for updating us on that, Jeffrey. Wow. Maybe so they're dropping place. Like flies.
Yeah. And then just on the happy topic. So Chloe, who is joining us from Quebec, right?
Yeah. Quebec, I believe.
Yep. There's also a lot more suicide in elderly couples, more than we think. True. I know as a fact of her job, which I'm not sure what it is. But you do see that in elderly couple, and there is the broken heart syndrome. A lot of times it's just from the loneliness of everyone's left. People have moved on. We don't keep nuclear families.
Sure.
And she's from Canada, so I don't. You know, I'm assuming that's true in Canada too, with the lack of nuclear. Well, we keep to a nuclear family instead of an extended family.
Molly, there's somebody else that died.
You know the thing. Yeah, there's some Game of Thrones guy, 77.
That filmed one episode and dropped dead.
Someone get Betty White to a safe house.
Oh, seriously, I'm there. I thought about that and I thought I can't handle that. To be honest with you, because my childhood in a lot of ways flashed in front of my eyes, and it was, you know, the whole Mork and Mindy, and my dad and I always watched, and mom, but remembering, because my dad died when I was 17, and remembering sitting there watching Mork and Mindy, and that just being a part of childhood. Huh?
On repeats.
No, I watched it in first. I watched it as
you
it
said
was
17.
I was 17 when my dad died.
Oh, but you remembered watching Mork and Mindy with him.
With him.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying, I'm like Mork and Mindy was not on when you were 17, girl.
Oh, no, I'm like, yeah, no. But it, you know, just different things like that. And I thought if they showed a picture of Betty White was on, and I thought, no. No. And I saw something in Fries with Mary Tyler Moore on the cover, and I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah, oh,
like,
no.
Just, and I looked at Aaron, I said, Al will be just a mess.
I thought it was cute that somebody on one of the news things I was watching today, they were showing pictures of the house that they shot exteriors of for Mork and Mindy that's actually in Boulder, Colorado. There were memorials being put up on the fence in front of the house. Oh, that was cute. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, that is the house.
Yeah. Side note, Chloe is actually a funeral planner. So, she knows about it.
Oh,
yeah,
funeral
so she gets it. Yeah.
Well, and all of that because we take our elderly and we put them to the side.
Right. I mean, because we do nuclear family. Yeah. We don't do extended family, so they
that's
kind of get
so
they end up
you're
in
right.
that.
Everybody dies.
They fly them from Atlanta to Phoenix. They die in
who
the air.
Who does all nuclear family? Yeah. Like, what communities do
we do as American people? Like you?
No, I'm saying, but who like includes? Oh, like, how do I include my?
You're in a nuclear family right now.
But I'm saying, how do I include my parents in
you
that?
You live in one big house and you live move next door to them, and then
God,
you buy a
Jesus. No.
Yeah.
And that is the answer.
Right there. There it is. So in a truly Farrah Fawcett death, that's going to be overshadowed just because of her age and not because of her talent. Lauren Bacall, one of the biggest stars ever.
Her voice.
And truly one of the most beautiful women that's ever been on stage.
Quit smoking in the 80s. But you wouldn't know that.
But why would when smoking was your game?
No, I know, but I'm saying the fact that she did and still had that.
Oh, that voice.
Yeah.
But her absolute beauty and just her first movie to have and have not with Humphrey Bogart, where she is just all on and all gorgeous. And she stayed beautiful really, really, really until
that was her style.
Very, very recently.
And her eyes.
Beautiful movies, 2 Tony Awards.
Very
she did,
sexy.
With that voice, she did musicals. She did Women of the Year and Applause. She's Cactus Feather.
I know her as an old lady.
Her Surefire.
I'm pretty sure everybody, you know.
Her Surefire Oscar win should have been for The Mirror Has Two Faces, the Barbara Streisand movie, but fortunately or unfortunately, depending on who you asked, Juliette Binoche won for the English Patient. One of those, Doug Wilkie will argue with you on that one for a long time. But just a great career, a great woman, married to two of the Hollywood's best. Mm-hmm. She was married to Humphrey Bogart, had 2 sons with him, and then she married Jason Robards, has the son Sam Robards, who's a famous actor.
Yep.
But just one of the great talents and great beauties of Hollywood. And every time, like, we've had a couple lately that we've said, like, this is the last movie star. This is the last movie star.
She really
may be the last of the Hollywood stars.
True movie star.
True movie star.
Not TV star, because we know who that
and
was.
And she did a lot of TV. She did the golden age, the 50s of television with live TV theater. She did quite a bit of that. Got
just because I haven't heard her voice in a while, I was going to play this little, I have no idea what this is. It's just something I looked up on YouTube to see. She talks about...
say I don't want you to be an actress.
I know, he said.
He said, if you want a career, a real career, then I'll do everything I can for you, but I won't marry you.
I just love her. Yeah. She had such a great voice.
She was
just
such a presence.
Yes, she was.
I printed these off for you because I thought I was going to frame them and set them up for you, but obviously they announced her passing way too late. She was an anti-Republican. And there's a thing that'll show.
Being a liberal is the best thing on earth you can be. You are welcoming to everyone when you're a liberal. You do not have a small mind. I'm total, total, total liberal and proud of it.
That's awesome.
This is a public service announcement from Glitter Snipe. Remember, the Academy Awards are no measure of talent. Kim Basinger won an Oscar. This woman did not.
And that was the one that I wanted to frame.
Here's another audio clip of her. This is from 2006. Lauren Bacall, her friendship with Katharine Hepburn.
You were very close to Katharine Hepburn, weren't you?
Yes, but Katie at least lived to 96.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she wasn't just whisked out of this world at a very early age.
And what did she like about you, do you think?
I think she liked the way I behaved when Bogey was ill. I think she liked the way I was in Africa.
When they were doing
African Queen, because I'm totally unpretentious and I'm very like Katie and that I am what I am and that's it. And then, of course, after African Queen, then the four of us with Spencer and Bogey, who always liked one another and respected one another, we spent a lot of time together. And then after Bogey died, I mean, she's totally adored Bogey. After he died, she was really, really upset and really very careful with me. She was wonderful with me. Mm.
Just I love that.
Her most famous clip of all. And they now, if you don't know, they're talking about the African Queen.
Where did that picture come from?
Well, no, it's actually really neat because there was a website, a photographer that did a photo shoot of weathered celebrities. And it was, let me tell you who. Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Lauren Bacall, Clint Eastwood, and Jeff Bridges.
Wow, that is just no filter, no makeup.
But it's just really a stunning photograph.
What she has said though, one of her quotes is the face that you have, like basic, and I'll find it. But it's the face that you have is a wonderful face because it talks about your years.
Because she has
and I just
something
put a link to every place.
This photo, if you look up Lauren Bacall photos on Google Images, they have all of these really amazing photos of her black and white back in the day and when she's young. And then there's this one. And it's like,
because she wouldn't have any surgery or
done. But thank God.
Because she always said she earned her face.
Thank God.
Yes.
I hope I feel the same way, really.
But the African Queen was filmed in Africa. It was a big project of Angelica Houston's father, Walter Houston. No, Walter Houston's her grandfather.
Yeah.
John Houston.
Walter Houston.
I knew that.
The only family with a grandfather, a father, and a daughter that'll have Oscars. But anyways, so they filmed African Queen. It was Bogart. It was Katharine Hepburn. Lauren Bacall was there because she was either his fiance or his wife. And Katharine Hepburn had the worst time of her life. She thought she was being tortured. There's all kinds of movies about being made. Clint Eastwood made a movie about it. A whole part of the Katharine Hepburn exhibit that I went to in Connecticut was about just how badly she was treated in Africa. Sure. And the only bright part of her thing while they were hunting elephants and doing all these horrible things in Africa and catching malaria and leaving her sick and dying in a tent was that she had Lauren Bacall by her side.
Oh.
And then when Bogart got sick just a short while afterwards, she was their constant friend. Even though Bogart had treated her badly, Lauren Bacall and Betty, and you never called her Lauren in person.
Right,
she
Betty.
Was she Betty. Was Betty.
Yeah. Oh. She did not. Lauren was a Why stage name, and she wanted nothing to do with it.
No. So her name
was Betty.
Betty Jo Penske?
Penske.
Something like that. Posted on Facebook earlier.
But she absolutely did not want to be called.
Why is that?
Because it was a stage name. It wasn't her. Like her face.
She was
her.
Betty Jo.
She was
Betty Joan or Betty Jo.
Her quote was, I think your whole life shows in your face, and you should be proud of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I
so
agree.
That would be where
she
that
was wonderful.
Big horse feathers to her. Play that clip.
Al sent me a clip. It's just a minute long, so let's listen to this.
It's even better when you help. Sure you won't change your mind about this?
Uh-huh.
This belongs to me and so do my lips. I don't see any difference.
Oh, I do.
Okay. You know you don't have to act with me, Steve. You don't have to say anything and you don't have to do anything. Not a thing. Oh, maybe just whistle. You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
And that's how she became a movie star.
You know what's funny? I never knew she said that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember everybody over the years, you know, the whistle, don't you? Everybody said that. Right. I didn't realize that was her.
That was her, and that's her screen debut.
To have and have not. I didn't realize that.
That's the line that made her. It was because, and she was always fighting the Hays Code over decency. They were the people that kept, you know, you couldn't have nudity, you couldn't have swearing. She was always in trouble. And they took her always right to the limit of sexiness. Like, how dirty could she be and have the Hays Code not understand what she was
saying? You know how to whistle, don't you?
Yep. So just put your lips together and blow. And she's just phenomenal sex.
Wow.
So just a wonderful.
And do you want to, just to, for tying it together, do the Robin?
We can. Yes, because so much happened. There's so much going on.
We're busy.
So Marnie sent me a link today of a YouTube clip of Robin Williams. We all know of James Lipton and the Inside Actors Studio. One time when Robin Williams was on, here is what Robin Williams was asked and his response. Oh, what the fuck just happened to it? Hang on, I had it all queued up. What happened to it? I don't know. Hang on, stand by. I'll re-queue that. Go ahead.
While you're doing that, there was one other death with James Brady.
James Brady died. Yes. And it was ruled it a murder.
Homicide.
It was ruled a homicide.
Yeah. And I wonder what they're going to do with that.
And you wonder what Fox News had to say about that.
Yeah. Seriously.
Because, I mean,
I haven't seen anything with that.
So. And I just could not get to a TV to sit down and spend my usual time with news channels, which was good and bad. And Charles Keating, who you might remember from Another World, he was a villain on Another World, parts and all kinds of things.
All My Children.
He's died too. Yeah. Yeah.
So many people. I found the clip. Here we go. This is again James Lipton asking Robin Williams if heaven exists.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
There's seating near the front. The concert begins at 5. It'll be Mozart, Elvis, and one of your choosing. Or just a nice, if heaven exists, to know that there's laughter. That would be a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just to hear God goes, two Jews walk into a bar.
Yeah, everybody makes fun of James Lipton, but that show is so good.
I love that show.
That's another one. I've been caught up in marathons of that bullshit enough times.
No,
I'll only go to bed if the only way I'll stay up for another episode if it's Meryl Streep. Next to Inside the Actor Studio, Meryl Streep. God damn it. Horse feathers. I want to go to bed.
You know the one that I can't quit watching and not at all what you guys did? Fucking HLN keeps watching Forensic Files.
I can't stop. I'm with you. Except then they hit replay and I get totally annoyed.
You know what I do? I just tape them because there's really only 10 minutes of television and 40 minutes of infomercials.
Yeah, no, but you know what gets me?
You guys want to know what I'm watching? Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Daniel Tiger.
Still educational.
Sesame Street put out a tweet about Robin Williams, too, because
I saw that.
He was one of the few people to be on there without an adult co-star or puppets. He was all by the first part of his section, he was all alone. Yeah. I mean, just the amount of
a lot of celebrities on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
All right, so that's the end of my part.
Yep. Well, so we'll have to follow that James Brady thing. I'm really intrigued by that.
So much. Katie, have you wrapped up your entertainment?
Yeah, mine was just dead people.
All dead people.
I gotta tell you, this summer has sucked for entertainment. Like, it's just been shitty movie after shitty movie.
We'll see if we can do something for you for next week. But in the meantime, here's Katie June.
This weekend, sports and other stuff. We're talking about the gay games.
Hello, games.
Michael Sam also has a new ally. Donald Sterling is officially out. News about Tom Herbie and Hobby Lobby fires a pregnant employee? Can't be.
Say it isn't so.
So this week in
sports
and other stuff. So I'll try to be quick. I know we don't have a ton of time left.
We have a whole fucking hour. What do you want to do?
Like a half, maybe.
Whatever. Yeah. Take your time, Katie.
So, Gay Games 2014 happening this year in Cleveland.
Cleveland.
More people were looking for you.
Do have some Arizona peeps in the Gay Games. I don't know who they are, but it's exciting that they're there.
I'm glad your research really.
Well, they have an address here.
A lot of thorough research. So the Gay Games were actually conceived in 1980 by Dr. Tom Waddell as a vehicle of change. And they have, for the over a quarter century, built an international legacy of changing cultural, social, and political attitudes towards gay people. So what's actually really cool is that I've seen some of our friends, George Hernandez, right? He's a Charlie's Reg Ular.
Right.
And he's been there and posting a lot of Facebook updates. And it's really cool. Like, the gay games do a... very similar to the Olympic Games.
Well, the
international kind of march.
The Men of Charlie's from here that they actually opened and carried the flags in for the gay games.
So cool.
That was something that was arranged from here.
The photos that I've seen online and on Facebook are really, really cool, but the gay games, so check them out.
I was actually pissed. This may lead into whatever you're going to.
Yep.
Somebody who posted on a Twitter feed something in regards to the Obama statement.
Oh.
Where are the hetero games? Every goddamn day is what the hetero games are.
Yeah.
Really?
Everything.
They're called the Olympics.
Yeah.
Majority
run by gays. But still, that's...
I really, really, really super just ignore all of those things when someone says, like, oh, it's gay pride. And straight people go, where's
straight
pride?
Where's straight pride?
Go fuck yourself.
Day.
It's every day.
Every day.
So I just think that the best way to handle those assholes is to ignore them.
Could be.
There's been a lot of other articles about how the gay games are kind of a unique sporting event.
I wonder how many condoms and lube are in the Olympic Village there.
I know.
Yeah. Good thing we're not in Russia.
Horse feathers.
I love me some gays, but one of the events is darts.
That is actually true.
But they play that shit everywhere. Every fucking bar in town has darts.
I know.
It really does take a lot.
But when you start telling people that darts is sports, we're giving up.
Go to Roscoe's
on 7th Street and fight with those faggots who think darts. I want to see you come out
and
of that
also,
alive.
I'm not sticking up for it. Yeah. I'm saying they have that fucking gun shit in the Olympics where they have a sight on it. And, like, how is that like, really?
Right.
Yeah, again, but I'm not agree that, like, darts is definitely a bar game.
And they don't call it butt. It's just...
But they say that there are more than 7,000 athletes competing in the gay games total. And for them, it's all about competing in an inclusive environment. Zoloth, who is from...
Is it from Comic-Con? Sounds like...
I'm Zoloth.
Tournament dance sport. Oh my God.
Okay, you just used dance in a part of a serious story.
In addition to ballroom, we included this year Argentine tango and country western style. So dance is actually a sport.
Country and western? Because it's
flip ribbons around at the Olympics.
Two different types of music here.
That's a smidge weird as an Olympic opportunity. But they said that it's an opportunity to dance. And this woman specifically said, we're not allowed to dance. Same-sex couples can't compete in what they call mainstream competitions because they define couple as a man and a woman. So this is an opportunity for
two dudes to dance.
Two dudes to dance.
And even in So You Think You Can Dance now, they'll pair up male on male and female on female.
They had two people doing that on America's Got Talent. Mom and I were talking about you because one of them we thought you might be like, hi.
Oh, hey. Oh, let me Google that. Yeah.
Good morning.
He had really severe eyebrows, but
Debbie Reynolds needs you on this chart now.
But it's a really exciting thing, and it's great for the host city. Lots of gays flocked to the host city. It was just neat. You know, the gay games, it's not something you see every day, so it's fun. But there also was the Obama video that opened the gay games. I don't know. I sent you that link.
I got it.
All right.
I got to find
the Obama surprise video message.
Can we go to that now?
Let's do it.
Well, I want to stop this so it doesn't play, and we'll go to
boom.
This. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 2014 Gay Games, and to the thousands of athletes, coaches, family, and spectators from around the world, welcome to Ohio and the United States of America. Since 1982, the Gay Games have given lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender athletes and supporters around the world a chance to come together to compete, celebrate, and inspire others. It's been remarkable to see the Games thrive over the years. We've also seen America change in that time. Even since 2006, when the Games were last held in the United States, in my hometown of Chicago. We've come a long way in our commitment to the equal rights of LGBT people here and around the world. I'm proud of my administration's record and of the citizens who've helped to push for justice. And I know some of you have come from places where it requires courage, even defiance, to come out, sometimes at great personal risk. You should know that the United States stands with you and for your human rights. just as our athletes stand with you on the field at these games. After all, the very idea of America is that no matter who you are, what you look like, where you come from, or who you love, you can make it if you try. That's who we are. That's who we should continually strive to be. But we're also a country that loves competition, so let's get these games underway. Good luck to the athletes. Have a great time in Cleveland and Akron, and go Team USA.
Oh, aww. I can't help it. I love this man. Yeah. I love my president. Good, he makes me want to cry. Feathers. I don't care. Yeah. I love my president. Yeah. And I we've never had a president before come out so openly and continuously in favor and support of gay rights and the gay community.
George W.
Never.
Yeah. Opening
never.
The gay games.
Never.
Because Clinton tried to be, but then he signed DOMA. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Clinton started off on the right track and then did the wrong thing.
And he pussyfooted. And I love this president. And you know, people make fun of the cadence of his speech and this, which, sure, we all made fun of the cadence of George Bush's speech and whatever else. But when I hear this man talk, I am happy.
Now, how do you know?
I love him. I just love him.
He's kind of all over the place, that George.
So,
and this one had a nice, you know how he usually has that ums and ahs?
Yeah.
Because he's trying to seem folksy while he's reading a teleprompter. And then they said, just read the teleprompter. Yeah.
Right, like gays get you. Just read it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we don't need
your
humina humina.
No humina humina.
Yeah, no humina humina. Gays get it. So anyway, I love the president. I love his remarks. Lance Bass and the Pointer Sisters.
Oh my God,
so current.
Do you remember who Lance Bass was?
Feathers.
He was the one member of the boy band I had a crush on, Natch, okay. Because checking. I always liked the gay guy.
I'm the one that doesn't know.
Yeah,
Lance
no idea.
No, I do. I always liked the gay guy every time.
I only knew him because he was on Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, right. So anyway, it was fun. He helped him kick off the games. That was very exciting. So in other news, Michael Sam has another supporter in the likes of Daniel Radcliffe, who we all know from the Harry Potter games.
And we are just a second away from the announcement that he's coming out.
It's entirely possible.
One would think so.
He spoke with Out Magazine, that's a start, about a number of things, including Michael Sam's legacy. He said, I think it's fucking awesome. It's fantastic that he's got a team. It's horrendous that he slipped to number 249 after being the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. People can say whatever they like about his athleticism or not fitting the bill for certain conditions or whatever, but the fact is that no player in the last 6 years to win that award has ever been drafted lower than 16th overall, I think. So it's sad that that it was an issue. But he's amazing. In interviews, he at no point does he allow himself to be portrayed as a victim. He's brilliant. So anyway.
Did anyone see anything about him playing in his first preseason game?
No. How did it go?
So here's the thing that made me laugh. They had Michael Sam circled on the line. Okay. And on the defensive line. So he plays defense.
How do they have him circled?
So
where do they circle him?
Well, the commentator people.
You know,
they can do things. Okay. All of a sudden I was stumped. I'm like, how do
I don't know this.
So
where do they? Yeah.
So they have them all lined up and the TV people circle Michael Sam.
Good. I'm back
on
board.
To point out where Michael Sam is.
Sure. The gay guy right
there. The gay guy. Exactly.
There he is. There's the one.
There's the fag. At which point, guess who got first tackle of his career.
Woo!
On the first play.
I feel like let's high five.
The first time. I'm good with that. Woo! But I mean, for real.
Yeah.
He gets and all of a sudden,
they're not
kind of shutting
the gay guy anymore.
Right, right, right.
I mean, they played
here,
it, and they played
look
it, and they played
that,
it.
That's
it was,
so
but it was
true,
the
money.
Same clip over and over and over, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh,
you're
well, he
so
didn't
right.
Anybody
like,
on the ass.
Here, look at this super faggot. Let's see him get his ass kicked.
It didn't end up
real
him
quick.
Giving somebody a forced blowjob.
Exactly. Look, nobody became gay in the first game. Is what.
Let's see who he
made.
Let's see who he butt fucks real quick.
He didn't
right
try
here.
To mate with anyone. He just tackled the guy, and then all of a sudden it was for the rest of the weekend. Done. They just talked about the St. Louis Rams.
Oh my God!
Not Michael
so
Sam ramming
awesome.
Anyone.
If you can, if you can play, you can play.
If you can play,
you can play. You can play.
Exactly.
Yeah, if it's in the game, it's in
horse
the game.
Horse feathers.
Horse
but
feathers.
I thought it was
horse
great.
Horse feathers.
I really did think it was great.
How come they shut? They touch everybody's ass in every NFL game ever, fucking ever.
And it's
and
not
all of a sudden,
gay.
Oh my God! Soccer. They make out and stroke each other.
Oh, they do. Yeah. God, that's it's so alluring.
I'm gonna go touch
I almost want to play soccer just for that.
I. Me too.
I don't think. I could be a good goalie because I can block most of the net.
But how about
no? You would not be good at that at all. And shut up.
Because I would just be distracted.
You would be so distracted. You'd be like, "Hi."
Are you a Libra?
Yeah. Have I met you? Have you met me? Okay, good.
Come about basketball?
Wait, but how about basketball? Would you also like to play basketball?
I just have one more question. I do.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe like, not because, oh, because
I just go into every sports arena going, is this one of the sports that needs a hugger?
Because you want to be that guy. Come on over.
Is there holding?
Give me a
hug. Is there holding?
Oh, come over here. Give me a hug.
How come the cock story is on your on the side there?
Because you looked it up. No, okay. It's just
Michael Sam gets action in his first quarter.
Yeah, good for him. You know
it
what,
says
though?
Gets first but
I love
NFL
it.
Action.
I love it. So let's cut to basketball really quickly. The Donald Sterling saga may finally be over. I know we don't want to spend too much time on this, but the sale of the team of the LA Clippers has finally gone through. And former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer closed the deal. He paid $2 billion fucking dollars. Literally murder me. $2 billion, a record amount for an NBA franchise.
Can he just pay off my student loans?
To do the deal. Please? And he says, I am humbled and honored to be the new owner of the LA Clippers. Clippers fans are so amazing. They've remained fiercely loyal to our franchise during some extraordinary times. Extraordinary they are. You have $2 billion to buy a basketball team. So anyway, the sale is complete. And all of the drama that I feel like we broke the news here on...
I'm so glad it's over.
It's over. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank God. Jesus Christ.
So one more quick thing that Marn had sent over to me. So Tom Hruby.
Hruby. Uh-huh.
Looks like Ruby, but it could be one of those weird things where football players say their names differently than they're actually phonetically pronounced. So he is Northwestern football's latest walk-on, is an active Navy SEAL. So not only does this gentleman maintain a full class schedule, and he earned a spot on a major conference college football roster as a walk-on, but he also, he's a junior, junior at Northwestern Wildcats this season, makes the whole process look like nothing. For starters, he's 32. He has a wife and three kids in Crown Point, Indiana. And he's a good 68 miles from Northwestern's campus in Evanston, Illinois. He's also an active Navy SEAL, the subject of a terrific feature in the Chicago Sun-Times. He became a SEAL in 2006, began in California where he trained as a breacher, which sounds hard and horrible. He served in Afghanistan and Iraq, among other countries in the Middle East. Last year, he took the SAT... enrolled in Northwestern. He's 6'3", 230 pounds, and he's securing a spot on the roster as defensive end. I love him. He's living in a dorm room, attending 6 a.m. conditioning sessions, and continuing to work at a SEAL instructor at the Great Lakes Naval Station. So bottom line is, if you feel like you have it tough, go fuck yourself.
Seriously, come on, if that marriage goes south, they'll help out.
Yeah. So this guy has a beautiful wife and three children. Yeah. He's a fucking Navy SEAL, and he's busting his ass to get on the Northwestern football team. So good for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really, like that's the like feel-good story of the night.
That really is.
Yeah, wow. I think that's pretty fantastic.
Very cool. So I have a couple of other things, but I'm going to save them for a later date because they are not necessarily as timely. They're classic. It's about things and people that I hate, so it's always, always good enough.
And then just a little bit of gay trivia news, and it had to be a gay that it figured it out, but I don't know if you read Laura's comment that Lauren Bacall was the last of the 12 icons.
I was just going to bring that up right now.
The what?
Well, go ahead. Play that. So, do you have that clip?
I will play it in a minute. We all know Madonna's Vogue video.
But can we do it? Can we do it though? Without? Are we able to name the 12 without?
You ready?
Help?
Greta Garbo, Anne Monroe, Dietrich and DiMaggio, Marlon Brando, Jimmy Dean,
on the cover of a magazine,
Grace Kelly, Harlow Jean, picture of a movie queen, Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, Dance on Air, Rita Hayworth, Gabe Goodface, Lauren Catherine, Lana 2, Betty Davis, We Love You. So Lauren Bacall was the last of the 16 icons name dropped in Madonna's Vogue.
OMG.
Yeah, but you're, I'm sure some homo is like, oh my God, she was the last one.
I know, somebody's been sitting there like, ha ha ha, there's only one more to go.
And by some homo, do you mean Laura?
Like, no, I got that link from Jason Carlton just seconds ago.
Hayworth gave good face.
Yeah. I wonder if I can cue that up so we can roll through that, because I'm sure.
That's so cool. Madonna.
Let's see if I can get this queued up to this somehow. Oh, there's going to be a fucking commercial on YouTube, which we should probably play so we don't get sued, but fuck it.
Fuck it.
You know, I'm totally... Oh,
yeah. So it's that song, but I don't remember where it is in the song.
It's later.
So I'll play the video and then I'll find it where I think it is, and then we'll go there.
I got you. I got the lyrics pulled up.
No, it's exactly where I did, but I have to go. I have to watch the video.
Yeah, it's not until after the second chorus. Wait, third chorus. Chorus, substituting groove for move. It's the third chorus.
Stand by. Talk about yourself. I'll find it.
No, I just want to read it. It makes for great radio.
Because I remember it in the video where she, because she says it, and I can watch her say it.
Yeah.
If I would have realized this, I would have queued it up earlier, but no such luck. Lauren died so late in the day.
And it really is the Farrah Fawcett curse
to the
dying,
Michael Jackson.
Sure. Yeah, of dying when underneath a bigger star.
Absolutely.
So now,
oh yeah, they had style. They had grace. Rita Hayworth gave good face. Lauren Catherine, Lana too. Betty Davis, we love you. Ladies with an attitude.
Well, that's what we said.
But is this it? Hang on a minute. Here we go. No, too early. I'm too early.
Wait,
I'm getting close.
It could be right after this because it's after the
right. I think it's coming up right here, but I have to talk over it so we don't get snailed for it on YouTube. We'll see what happens. Yeah, this is it. It's coming up right here. As soon as this beautiful man in these videos.
Oh my God, I love this. I love Madonna.
Woo-hoo. Chloe, I'm only starting my third beer. So it's really hot.
And I like how they watch us with that.
And I'm doing all right. Thank you.
All right, here we go. I think this is it.
Thank you very much, honey.
Here we go. Nope, that's not. Oh. Damn, there's so much going on with her. Why didn't somebody update me about this Madonna shit? I know it's coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's a few verses up.
Really?
Yep, that's all you need. And then it makes no difference if you're black or white. And then beauty is where you find it. Now just go bump and grind.
Welcome to Q Talk Madonna. Welcome to Q Talk Madonna, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I have Madonna?
Oh, I know, here we are.
This is Madonna's Death Den.
I have a couple of peanuts.
Yeah. Oh, thank
you. An homage to Madonna's Death Den. The kind.
I think this is...
Okay, it's after this.
Yeah.
And then after this, it's after this chorus.
I think we're right here.
This is scintillating radio.
Oh, it is. It's right.
Turn that shit up, bitch.
I can't.
Come on. Get up on the dance floor. Vogue. We all need to do
Vogue. Christ, it's coming up. It seems like forever.
It's so hard to not
sing. Why don't you find it while you play the question?
No, it's literally right here. It's literally right here.
Because I want to get through this first, because this is titillating talk, gay talk radio right here.
Totally.
Gay talk radio. Yeah. No matter where the fuck you live. Here we go. Beauty's where you find it.
Yeah, here we go.
Listen along, boys and girls.
Beauty's where you find it.
Oh, it is, really. Beauty's where you find it. And this is the rundown.
Yeah, here you go.
Betty Garbo and Monroe, Dietrich and DiMaggio, Marlon Brando, Jimmy Dean, on the cover of a magazine. Grace Kelly, Carlo Jean, picture of a beauty queen. Jean Kelly, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, dance on air. They had style, they had grace. Rita Hayworth gave good face. Lauren Catherine Manitou, Betty Davis, we love you. Ladies with an attitude, fellas that were in the mood. Don't just stand there, let's get to it. Strike a pose, there's nothing to it.
Now, of course, if we go through this, Greta Garbo, she died the song came out in March of 1990. Greta Garbo died a month later. James Dean, Marilyn Monroe, and others had already passed on. Bacall made it 24 years after the song came out. So it goes like this. Greta Garbo in 90, Marilyn Monroe was 62, obviously. Dietrich in 92, DiMaggio 99, Brando in 04. Jimmy Dean was back in September 55. Grace Kelly, 82. Jean Harlow in 37. God damn. She was
so
young.
Long ago.
June of 37. Gene Kelly, 96. Fred Astaire, 87. Ginger Rogers, 95. Rita Hayworth, 87.
Betty Davis is 89 or 90.
Lauren Bacall, three goes in sequence. So in 14, she just died. Katharine Hepburn, 03. Lana Turner, 95. Betty Davis, October 6th, 89.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Wow.
I took that one hard. I took Grace Kelly the hardest, but I took.
Really?
Oh, my God. Me and my mom just sitting in front of the TV sobbing. I love Grace Kelly.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. And weirdly, my mom always used to bring me back things of, like, she would travel and bring me back Marilyn Monroe pictures, who I never really gave a shit about. But I never got any great. But Grace Kelly also isn't on, like, checkbook covers and stuff.
Right,
like
because
that.
She bowed out and went to be the
princess
the
of Monaco.
Princess,
Monaco.
Which, right, so
oh,
very.
Yeah,
totally did.
But she, oh, Grace, Grace Kelly's, even though I disagree with her Oscar win, she's one of my favorites. That country girl Oscar is bullshit.
Well, there's that. All right, it is a little before the top of the hour. We have plenty of time to get through this, so let's do it. It's called Thoughtful Vulgarity.
Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
All right, in honor of Robin Williams and how many fucking years of... laughter. So whatever the medium, whatever the venue, live on TV, doing whatever they do, what one performance, and we'll go a little bit younger, something influential. So like what one thing that you saw live on TV, taped, listened to the recording of, like what was the one like standalone performance that just blew you away when you were little? Like, what did you watch or see? Or
so this is going to of Robin Williams,
of him or
no anybody.
We're talking
you can
anything.
Pick anybody, but
oh okay. Because I
but if it
boom,
was because my friend Robin Gina Williams. It said it, hers was, and I can't remember what the 82 was, and we can't decide if she means Reality What a Concept or if she means the follow up one in like 82 on HBO. Like, which one of those two is the one that really, like, threw her for a loop? And I can't... I saw both of them, and I can't remember which one is the one. I'd have to re-listen to them to figure out which one of those two was the one that just was, like, lightning to my brain and made me want to... Like, I wanted to think faster. I was like, I'm not thinking fast enough. Clearly, you can think faster, and I just can't do it.
I don't feel that I am equipped to answer this question right now. I'm not understanding it.
For those of you watching
like
the video
what
feed,
performance, I'm sorry. Like what person, like in like what performance? You could have seen it live. You could have just seen it on TV. You could have heard just the recording of just stop. That's it. That's
Molly just said Michael Jackson moonwalking on Motown 25. Blew
nice.
Her mind.
Yeah, nice. That's a good example.
So and here's where I feel like I'm just getting things in my head because I was going with Robin Williams, and it was the first time that I saw him and Jonathan Winters on Mork and Mindy, and I saw those two connect. Just thinking of Robin Williams, that
and you know he was his primary caregiver as well. That he went out because Jonathan Winters suffered from horrible depression and mental illness.
Didn't know that.
And they all the comedians talk about that he went out and took care of him. He
I
would drive to his house and personally care for him.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Watching those two was
Mark
one of the craziest
Murph.
Fucking things I've ever seen in my life. And again, because of Dad, Mom, and I watching that and that all kind of flooding back, I just thought that was amazing. But if it's not about that, I feel like I'm letting, with what Molly said, get something planted because it was all about Prince. And seeing Prince with the guitar shooting the purple out at the Grammys, I believe it was. Would that have been 84?
For Purple Rain, 84,
Purple
85.
Purple Rain, 84, 85. And I feel like 84. And that, to me, was absolutely fucking amazing. So, I mean, and I feel like that got planted because she was talking about Motown with
but
Michael
yeah, but
Jackson
what's the thing? Like, it could be like Ricky Martin at the Grammys when he did The Cup of Life, and all of a sudden you're like, hold on a minute, the Grammys just changed. You know what I mean? Like, what's that thing that just kind of stopped time for you? Go with that one?
Yeah, I think that all I right. would, because it just, it, to me, that changed. It wasn't about Madonna humping a stage or anything, which I think, oddly, was the same year. But it was just, and I think because he was hometown Prince, for me, that was a really big deal. So Molly planted that, but absolutely. That was a really big deal, him playing on there. So
mm-hmm.
I think that would be
so it. My answer is going to be a little bit cheesy because it also will be a Robin Williams-y answer. And again, like, I'm not intending to make this like the Robin Williams momentum. Tribute show.
Are you talking just in general?
Yes.
Yeah, just in general.
That just made you just fucking stop.
Yeah.
When the Challenger exploded. Done.
Oh, I meant a performance, though. Oh. Like, I don't...
Done. There you go.
I'm not sure that was part of Christina McAuliffe's.
No, right. Not her final resume.
No. Things I'm just talking about like a performance.
Oh, performance.
We're using
wise
a Robin
only.
Williams okay. as someone who yeah. like
was a okay. performer.
Because I was saying like my okay. friend Gina was talking about that. That was the thing that just kind of changed her direction of her
got
personality.
It. Okay, I apologize. Go on.
Challenger.
Jesus. Well, no, horse feathers.
No,
talk about misunderstanding the assignment.
I told you I don't think because I'm going to answer it.
The Wings Barbecue 2004. So comparable to the Challenger exploding.
Wings Barbecue 2004.
Well played.
No, that was Clayton.
Horse feathers.
I said that.
Well done.
That
fuck
just
off.
Made me
all
laugh.
Of you.
That.
Go on.
So I think that mine would be, and I really legitimately think that this would be my answer regardless. And I know I've said before that Dead Poets Society was my favorite movie when I was a little kid. I mean, I was like legitimately like pre-junior high when I watched this movie. And I just was so obsessed. And it was actually not the Robin Williams, like, piece of the movie that necessarily obsessed me. I don't know. It reminded me of, like, my uncle and my parents were really in, my parents were really involved in Greek life in college. But at their university, at their college, Greek life wasn't like, let's get fucking wasted. It was really the.
Is that why they drink later on in life?
No,
so
but.
Much?
But no,
like
I mean, they do
a sisterhood
that.
Or a brotherhood.
But it was very much
is
a sisterhood.
She understanding the question?
Yeah. Brotherhood. It was very much like my parents. Like when I watched Dead Poets Society, it reminded me of my family and what they had done at their small liberal arts college, and I wanted that. And I literally went out and I bought and white ruled paper notebooks, mm-hmm. and I started writing poetry. And I was in probably sixth grade, and I was like, but I was writing poetry I was writing poetry that was normal, and I was writing poetry that was like trying to be deeper and darker than I really felt. And I was doing artwork on the back of my closet wall. Like, this movie moved me. And I used to just write and write and write and write. And I watched it all the time, and I cried and I loved it. And I watched it secretly, like late at night when I was supposed to be asleep. And I watched it on a Saturday afternoon. And my parents knew. And I loved this movie. It was one of my favorites of all time. I went on to really love the college movies Dazed and Confused and also Empire Records, which are more about just getting stoned, which I also went on to do in college. But so I just want to put this into some context. I'm putting some context to my comments. But I will tell you, when I started college, I took a philosophy class and got an A++ in it because I was the only freshman in college that I knew that desperately wanted to come home to my dorm room and read philosophy books. And it was because I felt inspired to be collegiate because of Dead Poets Society. Mm-hmm. It was a movie that touched me as a sixth grader and as a high schooler, as a straight A student and as a scholar and as someone that wanted to continue my education. And like, it just so happens that it was a Robin Williams movie, but it was a movie that just touched me in a lot of ways. So that was kind of my like moment. It like changed my sixth grade mind.
And I have to say, like sometimes when I travel, I'll end up because I like to wander by myself and just kind of wander places. And like I've ended up one time I was with a friend. I wasn't really wandering, but he was a baseball umpire, and we were in Eugene, Oregon, in this old fashioned baseball park that I swear was the one that they used in A League of Their Own. It was 1940s. The kid was running up and down the thing, changing the numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't have an electronic scoreboard.
So cool.
It was still a kid. And that kind of
so
stuff.
So amazing.
And there's a, at one point I was visiting somebody and wandering around and went to a little, like a little, what looked, it wasn't an Ivy League school, clearly, because of where it was. But when you just walked around the campus, and I was just wandering around, it just felt like you could see them running. Mm. Like, you would just see the kids running out to go have their secret meeting in the forest. You know what I mean?
This was Northern NAU. The North Campus at NAU was the same way. Yeah, it was the old brick buildings and big old
trees. Sometimes you just go somewhere and you see something and you're just like, ooh, I can just imagine this scene from a movie happening here. And so I was convinced that A League of Their Own was filmed in Eugene, Oregon for years afterwards.
Yeah, but that's it. That would be really my
moment.
Turns out
there was more than one left that hadn't changed their scoreboard. And still had that little, and it's just the most charming thing to watch that little kid run up and down the plank and change the numbers on the board. Like,
thank
that
God
really
for
was.
That. It's really wonderful.
It really made you want like a glass of lemonade and a, you know, a daiquiri in the car.
I thought you were going to say a hot dog.
All the shit they were really doing in the 50s. Yeah. Well, I'm having a lemonade here, but me and Marcy are having a dark turquoise.
In the Bel Air.
We're having a daiquiri in the Bel Air.
Two things come to mind, and it's funny that you bring this up, because I realized after we did Dancing with the Bars that I stood on the same stage as Donna Summer when I saw her live in concert there back in the mid 90s. Mm-hmm. And I completely didn't realize that at the time.
You
and I'm
didn't
like,
say anything
I
about
didn't say
that.
Anything because no. it occurred to me, I don't know, a week or so later, I'm like, oh my God, that's when she wore that horrible Jiminy Cricket looking jacket that I hated that she just didn't look right in. But I remember seeing, like, I was in the present, because we've talked about it 100 times, that the double, the Donna Summer Live and More album, the live from in LA, in
Universal
Amphitheater,
that's the, one I have.
The live concert. I was so addicted to that from a child on, and still am. I can listen to the whole thing over and over and over, and it doesn't matter. I was so, that was so, for whatever, just my concert, and I loved that so much. To see her live in person, I'm like, that's her.
Yeah.
That's her. I'm seeing, and obviously, Celebrity Theater, you're no more than, 30 feet from the stage? I mean, you're right there.
Yeah.
And I was, like, third row. I remember, like, I could just, because that's the concert when, she said she did something, and she said, I don't know why they say that about me. And I yelled, because you're Donna Summer. And her back was to me, and she just snapped.
I love
she
it.
Heard me say, because you're Donna it. Summer. But that was just my, you know,
yes,
my mouth.
Sir.
So that was one of the, that was one that really was stood out, because I was in the presence of somebody that I had. And I know I'm speaking to the choir here with you, Al, because you've seen her, I don't know how many times, but that was the first time I had seen her live in person. I was astounded that that was the woman who was singing, you know, all those songs from that live concert that I loved, loved, loved. The second one I would throw in there, and I don't know how I would equate these two. Years ago, when I was given the wonderful opportunity by Michael Frenelli to go see George Michael in concert, that's when I learned that I only want to go to a concert in a box seat, because I don't fucking want to stand up and deal with all you people. Seeing George Michael in concert, I cried the entire first half, and not sobbing, crying, weeping. There was just a very slight tear from my eyes the entire first half of the concert, because somebody who had been so important in my entire life, musically and in so many other ways, the lookalike thing was part of it too. But I was in the same building, the same room, breathing the same air as that person, and it was just something I couldn't quite absorb.
Right.
Once we got past the 20-minute intermission, I was then able to enjoy and dance and be happy and be all that. I was seeing somebody that I never, ever thought I would ever see, because in the late 80s, he was like, I'll never tour again. I'll never sing. And he also said he would never sing Careless Whisper live again. He did all that shit because he was young and stupid.
Right.
So now, like, we started out this show. I mentioned that, you know, maybe going to Las Vegas to see Culture Club, because that was the other, oddly, the other George in my life that I was so enthralled with Culture Club so much. Fortunately, I looked more like one than the other, because there would have been a whole different world.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
I've seen Culture Club's first American tour.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Even before that awful Karma Chameleon song was
that
a hit.
George Michael song or song concert was so amazing.
Side note, he was fabulous. I own it on the DVD. Marnie and I drove to the West Valley because they released
El Mirage.
They released, there was one day in the entire North America, they released the live concert, and it was played for one night only in a theater, and the only theater that in the valley was out in El Mirage.
Yeah.
It was a chain out of California, and they had one theater. So we actually drove out, went to the concert, and that's where the poster that's in my living room, the George Michael live concert, the manager of the The theater gave it to me because when we walked in, everybody was like,
whoa.
Who are you?
Like, yeah. Oh, and my God, is this George Michael?
And we
Oh, my God.
I don't know, like front center, whatever. Yeah. We watched the whole thing. And after we were done, everybody stood around and asked me questions for like an hour.
Hysterical. Oh,
man. Like, they wanted to know everything about this and that. And blah, blah, blah. So that was very interesting. But awesome. then I bought that DVD. So I have that.
It was a good concert.
It was a fantastic concert.
And I just loved that, like, you know, in my opinion, I'd always loved George Michael, and I thought he was old and whatever this. I mean, I just thought, like, this.
He's only 6 years older than me.
Well, but he also had all the drug problems and all the, like, the rumors that plagued
about him.
That
look a little bit older.
But he got on stage and did a hell of a performance.
Still can't dance to save his life, but he pulls it off.
Great, great
show.
And
unfortunately made one costume selection that was suspiciously like Debbie Gibson.
I don't remember.
In the monkey video where he's got the hat and the suspenders.
You're right. Yes.
Please review all of the videos of Debbie Gibson before you choose the outfit for your next video. Sir or ma'am. Horse feathers.
Al Perkins, what was the... How would you answer this?
All right, well, I'd have to go the very first thing that I ever... I'll just take a long time with it. Who gives a shit? We've been gone for a while. Stage-wise, and Harrison kind of stole my answer, but I saw George M. with Joel Grey, the musical George M. with Joel Grey.
Okay.
It was the first musical I ever saw. I was a very little kid, 5 or 6 years old, with my mom. And in Grand Old Flag, the tap dancers were all at it.
Yeah, Grand Old Flag.
They all jumped up and landed on one tap. And I was like, we're fucking done. Like, this musical theater is all about me. And then, because HBO is the greatest thing that I've invented of my entire life, 6 or 7 years old in my basement, I saw Bette Midler live at last.
Oh.
Saw it, and I did not understand 90% of the jokes. I just wanted to be part of whatever that was. Like, I didn't know any of the songs. The thing in the wheelchair, thing with the ape, the Kong's hand raising.
Yeah.
And this is before the King Kong remake, so I really was not clear at what King Kong was. But she comes down on a giant monkey paw and, like,
you were in.
I was in for every second of it. The dirty jokes, I didn't understand 90% of the jokes, but I just needed...
How old were you?
Seven years old, seven or eight, live at last.
That's
from, like,
awesome.
75. And
that's awesome.
Then it would be, well, the Live and More thing was because of the record. That wasn't the actual, it wasn't the live album that hooked me. It was that 45 of Last Dance. But years and years. Yeah,
does my rendition do it for you?
It really does.
Last Dance.
No.
Years and years later, I got to see, she did her triumphant return to the Universal Amphitheater in L.A.
Were you there?
In the spot where she... recorded Live and More. I was second row.
Oh my God,
on the left.
That's like live.
And
live,
I
live
lost
that.
My fucking mind because she was, and she had points where she would, her voice wasn't.
She was old lady.
No, but she a couple times. I saw her a lot of times in the winter, and she suffered from head colds. And sometimes she would cheat a note. The sister was known to hit a note or two for her. This voice, she knew she was back in LA, and she knew what she was selling, and she was on her game. She had, and as someone's talking about her costumes, because she always, one of her family members always dressed her. She would never spend money, or she designed her own. She always looked really bizarre on stage and just never accentuated the right features. I was like, please spend money.
Oh, that, like I said, that Jiminy Cricket jacket she had on, because she had a dunk-a-dunk. She had a butt. So she had this jacket that was split in the back, and it looked like, when you see Jiminy Cricket and old cartoons, we had the split back. That was what it was.
And it's so interesting, though, to say that, like, she has a big ass, when now that's, like, where it's at.
But she looked like she had
girls
mud
are
flaps.
Girls are paying it for giant asses now.
But
it's interesting.
One, she was on it. The costumes were good. And she did the only encore that I know of in her entire career. Because she was in an industry city, and that crowd was into it. They knew that they were reliving Live and More. Everybody was, like, my age, if not older. And she did Last Dance, and you're used to, like, you could beg and scream, and she was never coming back. Last Dance was Last Dance. She would never go home. And she came out because the crowd wouldn't go, and she did State of Independence, the John Anderson Vangelis song from the Donna Summer, eponymous. Oh my God, the crowd, because everyone
were
there.
People just like crying.
Oh my God,
and
they
screaming.
Went ape shit. And then because that's
that has to feel good for an artist.
But We Are the World is based on State of Independence because Quincy Jones put together an all-star choir.
Oh, I have no idea. You're speaking, literally, I sound like you're speaking Greek.
And
Quincy Jones, Comedy Duty.
Yeah. But
Somebody Choir.
Bono says it's like the essential. Bono from U2.
Got him.
It's the essential. It's the essential song to know is State of Independence by Donna Summer.
Okay, I gotta listen.
Quincy Jones, who produced all of Michael Jackson stuff, got all these people, actors, singers, everyone
together.
I've
seen the video.
And he brought them in.
You don't know We Are the World?
No, 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 I know We Are the World. But for State of Independence, they did that first. Oh, and when they had the idea, everybody from that's in We Are the World is in a song called State of Independence first. Okay. In that same studio recording for Donna Summer. Because in 1982, she was the bigger star than Michael Jackson. She was way bigger.
God, that just stressed me the fuck out.
So anyways, so to have her come out, and then she brought everybody, and like everybody from the tour came out on stage, and everybody did the choir of State of Independence with her, and the audience went nuts.
You know, so...
And that really... I mean, I was an older one, but that just stopped it. And my friend was trash, and he's like, okay, this bitch can sing.
So next week, because he's brighter, can he go first? Because I would have had totally different
answers. All right,
answers.
What's your answer?
What's your follow-up, Marnie?
My follow-up? No, but truly, like, thinking when people are putting or this, seeing the Eagles in concert.
Right, it's amazing.
Ooh.
Like, I saw the Eagles in concert at Sun Devil Stadium, and it wasn't, like, on the field, but it was the first row, and you could say I was a smoker. And let it go. I'm telling you, for being able to listen to it, like we were sitting there and like everyone around us was smoking. And I was as polite as I could be with cigarettes when I dropped them. But I had my feet up. It was right where like right before you get on the field. I'm hanging out on a beautiful night listening to the Eagles.
Right.
All of them together with my feet up on the wall. I'm having a cigarette. I have a beer. And I thought, yeah.
Yeah. Kill me now.
Yeah. Done. Just
if I were to die now, I'd be
good,
fine.
Like, those moments are just so good.
And like I said, sometimes
beautiful
it's,
night outside.
Sometimes it's live stuff. Sometimes it's just a recording. And I remember like, or that they like, I was talking about the Robin Williams. Gina's was one of those first two. We just can't decide if it's. We'd have to listen to it to know if it was reality, what a concept, or the second one.
Okay.
But that one, that live on Broadway, we had a whole brunch one time. There was like 10 of us at the table, talking about Robin Williams live on Broadway compared to Eddie Izzard, Dressed to Kill.
Okay.
And like two,
and see, I would throw
two
in
complete
Carlin.
Oh, Carlin. Any of them. Any of them.
Yeah.
Any one of his HBO. Yeah. The fact that people in the Year of Our Lord 2014 live their life without HBO, I don't understand.
Or without knowing who George Carlin is.
Yeah. Because honestly, without HBO, George Carlin is a mystery.
You're right.
The comedy of George Carlin.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's how...
Well, that's why I learned Rodney Dangerfield, a lot of his in the early 80s.
HBO. HBO Comedy
Rodney's
Hour.
Place, and he used to have all kinds of comedians. Sure. That's why I learned that entire skit about the guy that goes, I was a teacher, and I used to give kids Gold Star for the day. But Archibald Barisal. That's the whole thing about it. He spelled it. I'll tell you later,
you'll
but it's a
to.
Whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I just cannot say enough about Robin Williams on HBO, and those concerts were Ellen... Just all of those comedians,
Ellen's, like feature.
How do you know you've made it? You have your own HBO comedy special.
Nancy,
good night, Richard.
Nancy,
good night, honey. Thank you.
Oh, that's not Nancy.
It's like my favorite Ellen.
I tripped on that. I beware, like, caution.
Hey, no,
I was yellow tape. I was running.
I was running.
Caution.
Hysterical.
Yeah,
but it's a great point. But it's not until I see people like putting things out, and I'm like, oh yeah, or this or the big time.
But it's more fun to have you go first and fuck it up.
Always answer. I said
last.
My answer.
So you answer first and last.
We have to change that.
But yeah, truly, Laura put on there. I don't know if you guys saw that when
Katie's
meeting
Katie's
with
drunk. By the way,
no,
Katie,
he was at all. You know, the gala is just coming up. Everybody think about it.
When is the gala?
It's fucking February. I don't want to talk about
it. Well, this is
okay. We're in August.
No, it's coming
horse
up
feathers.
In my planning.
Horse feathers.
My planning life. It's coming up.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Everybody in the chat room. We'll see you. It's so fun. Chloe, a new listener. Oh my God. Who else? Richard. And Tomo and Laura and Molly and Richard and Jeffrey and you were there and you were there and you were there.
Harry and Dick.
And Randy.
Harry and Randy. I know who they are, but I can't place it.
Harry
it's
and
all
Randy.
Right. Well, in spite of popular demand, we will be here again next week. We are going to be here consecutively for several weeks in a row, so please join us. Please, please, please. Thank you for being with us. It's the show on Q Talk America. Katie, Marnie, Al, I'm Clayton. Thank you for being with us. We will leave you with a parting word. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.